Morning. It is 7:07 a.m. on Wednesday, September 22nd, 2015. I will call the Dallas City Council agenda meeting to order. Welcome to all of you here so early in the morning. We will begin with our invocation and then followed by the Pledge of Allegiance led by Mr. McGue. Giving our invocation is Pastor Tavarius Gardner from the Way Fellowship Church of Dallas. He's the overseer of that church. At the age of 26, he accepted the calling to preach and serve the True Way Church of God in Christ in Dallas, Texas. Pastor was ordained as elder by the Church of God in Christ. In 2010, he became the senior pastor of the church, and in 2014, became the overseer of the Way Fellowship. Pastor Gardner privately counsels members of his church and strongly believes in building a church within by developing strong leaders in the ministry. He's a father of two and a husband of Stephanie Gardner, his co-laborer in the ministry. Thank you so much for being here, Pastor. All rise.
Good morning, everyone. Father, we thank you and we bless your name this morning. Father, I ask for peace and guidance for the city council meeting, Father. In the name of Jesus, Father, I ask that you would touch every person's mind that sits on the seat of this council, Father, and give them guidance, give them wisdom to lead this city in the way that you would have it to go, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Because we're starting early this morning, we are going to put off our speakers till 9 o'clock to allow them to all show up. So we give them a chance to do that. We will begin with our voting agendas, Ms. Rios.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Your consent agenda consists of agenda items number 2 through 51 and addendum items number 1 through 6. We do have certain items pulled for individual consideration. Agenda items number 7.
Before you read those, should we vote on the minutes first?
Do you want to do minutes?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sorry. Just assume.
Agenda item number 1.
Excuse me. Thank you.
Agenda item number 1 is approval of minutes of the September 9, 2015 City Council meeting.
Any motion? Okay. Any edits? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. Your consent agenda. Now, we do have two individuals registered to speak on addendum item number 1. They are Anita Suzman Eddy and Gerald Britt. Are those individuals present? Thank you. If you'll please come forward, Anita Suzman Eddy. You are allowed 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice a timer at the podium. When your time is up, please allow the next individual their turn. You should state your name and address for the record, as well as state to the topic and address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. You may begin.
Thank you. My name is Anita Zusmanetti. I'm the Executive Director of the Jewish Community Relations Council of the Jewish Federation of Greater Dallas, 7800 North Haven Road, Dallas. I'm speaking on behalf of the Anti-Poverty Coalition of Greater Dallas. As many of you know, the Anti-Poverty Coalition, not to be confused with the Mayor's Task Force on Poverty, was formed by a steering committee that includes the Catholic Diocese of Dallas, Catholic Charities, City Square, United Way, Wilshire Baptist Church, the Texas Hunger Initiative, and the Jewish Community Relations Council. While we are all professionals representing our respective organizations, the Anti-Poverty Coalition has no paid staff, but is simply a coalition of nonprofit organizations with the mutual mission to alleviate poverty in Dallas while promoting financial literacy. After holding a public forum in December 2014, featuring a presentation by the Mayor's Task Force on Poverty, we polled the audience of 200 attendees to see how they wanted to proceed. The feedback we received led us to make a decision to utilize our resources towards the realization of the task force's number one recommendation, promotion of the earned income tax credit. We want to recognize and thank Carl Zabikowski, Lee McKinney, Irma Sriracha, and Heather Lepshow, and other city economic development staff, as well as each of you, council members, and your staff, for all the support and assistance that you have provided in ensuring that the RFP that is on the agenda is up for consideration. We hope that you will approve this RFP, which will provide the financial wherewithal to help alleviate poverty in Dallas through the expansion of EITC and volunteer income tax assistance centers. Again, on behalf of the Anti-Poverty Coalition of Greater Dallas and many Dallas residents, a heartfelt thank you to the City Council for your consideration.
Thank you.
Gerald Britt, Mr. Britt, is not present. Your consent agenda consisting of agenda items number 2 through 51 and addendum items number 1 through 6, pulled for individual consideration, addendum item number 7, 15, 16, and 17 are pulled by Councilmember Kingston. Agenda item 18 was reclassified under the addendum and needs to be considered as an individual item. Agenda item number 21 is being pulled due to a conflict by Councilmember McGue. Agenda item 22 and 31 are pulled by Councilmember Kingston. Therefore, the consent agenda now consists of agenda items number 2 through 6, 8 through 14, 19, 20, 23 through 30, 32 through 51, and addendum items number 2 through 6.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. We got a motion and second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you.
We will now take up item 53.
Thank you. Item number 53 is final reading and adoption of appropriation ordinances for the proposed fiscal year 2015-16 City of Dallas operating, grants and trusts, and capital budgets.
Thank you. We need a motion to approve. We got a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 54 is an ordinance setting the tax rate at 0.7970 per $100 valuation, which includes 0.5646 cents for the general fund and 0.2324 cents for the debt service fund, and levying ad valorem taxes for the City of Dallas, Texas for fiscal year 2015-16.
Thank you. Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the property tax rate be increased by the adoption of a tax rate of 0.7970 cents per 100 valuation, which is effectively a 4.88% increase in the tax rate.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion, Ms. Callahan.
Could we strike the word increase, or does that, it has to be included?
It has to be increased.
Increase the tax rate?
The tax rate? Tax rate is.
Would you read it once again, Ms. Alonzo?
Yes, sir. I move that the property tax rate be increased by the adoption of a tax rate of 0.7970 cents per 100 valuation, excuse me, which is effectively a 4.88% increase in the tax rate.
Yes, it's provided for in state law, and what the increase is over the effective rate. And.
And the 0.7599.
Thank you. So we have a motion to second. Mr. Kingston.
Could we see that state law? We didn't do this last year.
I don't know. Do we have the state law here?
I didn't bring a copy of it. We did have this same motion last year, Mr. Kingston.
Hmm. Okay.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? One opposed. Thank you. Motion carries.
Mr. Mayor, I've been informed that we need a record vote on agenda item number 53 and 54.
Okay.
Therefore, I wasn't aware.
So what are we going to do?
If you please, first we need to take the record vote on agenda item 53.
Okay.
Please cast your vote. On the record vote on agenda item number 53, all have voted on the item.
This is the final reading.
53 is budget.
Okay, go ahead.
Voting in favor, council members Medrano, McGew, Arnold, Thomas, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Wilson, council member Gates, Kleinman, Clayton, Mayor Rawlings, Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo, council members Callahan, Grayson, Griggs, and Young. Voting against, council member Kingston. The motion carries, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
If you'll please now cast your vote on agenda item number 54. All have voted. Voting in favor, council members Medrano, McGew, Arnold, Thomas, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Wilson, council member Gates, council member Clayton, Mayor Rawlings, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo, council members Kingston, Callahan, Grayson, Griggs, and Young. Voting no, council member Kleinman. The motion carries, Mr. Mayor. Agenda item number 55 is ratify the increase in property tax revenues resulting from increased property valuations with the same property tax rate as in the prior fiscal year.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. We have a motion and a second.
Record vote as well, Mr. Mayor.
Any discussion?
Agenda item 55.
Any discussion?
Record vote required.
Going third time, any discussion? Hearing none, record vote on 55.
Please cast your vote. 14 have voted. All have voted on the motion. Voting in favor, council members Medrano, McGew, Arnold, Thomas, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Wilson, council member Gates, council member Clayton, Mayor Rawlings, Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo, council members Kingston, Callahan, Grayson, Griggs, and Young. Voting no, Kleinman. Motion carries, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
Agenda item
number. We will take 56 and 61 all together.
Thank you.
Yes, that's the budget itself.
Agenda item number 56 is an ordinance amending chapter 5A, 7, 15D, 16, 18, 27, 43A, 49, and 50 of the Dallas City Code to number 1, remove the registration fee and registration requirement for used car lots. Number 2, adjust registration fees for facilities that emit or have the potential to emit air contaminants. Number 3, adjust fees for redeeming an impounded animal from a city animal shelter. Number 4, adjust the intact animal permit fee. Number 5, adjust the fee for a temporary regulated animal permit. Number 6, adjust emergency ambulance transport fees. Number 7, adjust permit fees overseen by the Dallas Fire Rescue Department. Number 8, adjust building reinspection fees. Number 9, adjust inspection charges for high-risk buildings and occupancies. Number 10, adjust plan review fees for fire apparatus access roads and for limited access gates that obstruct such roads. Number 11, adjust installation acceptance retest fees. Number 12, authorize sanitation services to collect recycling for commercial establishments and establish a fee for such collection. Number 13, authorize more than once a week collection of garbage and recycling from certain commercial establishments. 14, adjust fees for sanitation collection service. 15, adjust fees for tire business licenses and mobile tire repair unit permits. Number 16, adjust fee for certificate of registration for a multi-tenant property. 17, adjust fees for multi-tenant property inspections. 18, adjust fees for multi-tenant property inspections. Number 19, adjust the annual fee for a certificate of registration for non-owner occupied rental property. 20, adjust the reinspection fee for non-owner occupied rental property. 21, adjust the public swimming pool permit fee. 22, adjust the swimming pool manager training course fee. 23, adjust the vacant building registration fee. 24, adjust rates and charges for treated water service, wastewater service, wholesale water and wastewater service to governmental entities, untreated water service, service connections, and fire hydrant usage. Number 25, adjust the wood vendor license fee. 26, adjust the electronic repair license fee. 27, adjust the motor vehicle repair license fee. 28, adjust the home repair license fee. And 29, adjust the credit access business registration fee. Agenda item number 57 is an ordinance amendment.
Motion to consider separately.
We'll pull it out.
Thank you.
Agenda item
57.
Number
57? No, to consider all of them separately, Mr. Mayor.
All right, well, let's just go ahead and read them all in then.
In separate votes? Okay.
Please.
Agenda item number 57 is an ordinance amending section 44 through 35 of chapter 44 taxation of the Dallas City Code as amended, providing for the reallocation of the 7% hotel occupancy tax to designated purposes to be applied to revenues from the tax collected by a hotel on or after October 1, 2015, providing a saving clause, providing a severability clause, and providing an effective date. Agenda item number 58 is an ordinance amending chapters 2 and 18 of the Dallas City Code to clarify that the city's solid waste collection and disposal system is a utility. Agenda item 59 is an ordinance amending chapters 2, 43, and 51A of the Dallas City Code to number 1, to change the name of the Department of Planning and Neighborhood Vitality to the Department of Planning and Urban Design, and number 2, to add to the duties of the Chief Planning Officer, supervision of the thoroughfare plan amendment process, and supervision of the implementation of the Dallas Bike Plan. Agenda item 60 is an ordinance amending Chapter 34 Personnel Rules of the Dallas City Code by amending sections 34 through 9, 34 through 22, and 34 23, and 34 32. Two, number one, amend provisions of the personnel rules relating to employee benefit to comply with federal law. And number two, eliminate the requirement that certain employees take sick leave or vacation leave in increments of 6 hours, 1/10 hour, or 1 hour. Agenda item 61 is authorized number one, position changes. Number two, approval of civilian salary schedule for fiscal year 2015-16. Number three, police and fire uniform executive salary schedules. And number four, police and fire uniform salary schedules in accordance with the 2013 meet and confer agreement.
Thank you. I misheard something earlier, and I want everyone to understand that item 53 was the acceptance of the budget as posted, okay? So if someone was going to make an amendment and didn't think that was the whole budget, I'd like to see a show of hands that if we're okay and we've accepted the budget as posted, then that's fine. We don't need to move back through it. We'll take these individual items, which are support of the budget, changes that need to be made in supporting the budget. If that's the case, we would have to reconsider and take each of these things separately again. Does anybody want to amend? Was planning to
motion reconsider 53
was excuse me that I'll take that motion up in a second. Was anybody planning to show of hands making amendments to the budget? Okay, so just Ms. Arnold. Okay, thank you. So we have a Ms. Arnold wanted to make some amendments to the budget. Ms. Arnold only. And do we want to make a give her the opportunity? Mr. Kingston has made a motion to reconsider.
Mr. Kingston actually voted against it, so he.
Oh, Mr. Kingston voted against it, so he couldn't make that motion. Someone else needs to, but you can, Ms. Arnold.
Then I need to make a motion to reconsider the vote.
Thank you. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Show of hands.
There was a second. Clarify who, please.
Adam. Ms. Madrano.
Thank you.
Okay. Question, Ms. Gates.
Just a clarification. So if we do reconsider, and then we are aware of Ms. Arnold's amendment, because she posted it with the memos on Friday. So will we just vote that up and down, up or down at that point?
I'll explain that in a second, okay? Yes.
But does it open up the floor? She's the only amendment that we're allowed to accept at this
because
point.
Because no one said they were going to make
okay.
an amendment.
Okay.
So I assume that's they're speaking the truth. So.
And one modification to.
I will explain that. So we need your motion to be for 53, 54, and 55, because we got to take those separately as well if there's any changes in 53, okay? Is that okay, Ms. Arnold? Is that motion okay with you?
It does not preclude me from speaking.
No.
Okay. All right. Then I'm fine with that.
Okay. So, and Mr. Medrano? Okay. So we've got that. Are we back in square one now? Thank you. All right, so we have a, excuse me, now we will make a motion to approve item 53. Ms. Gates. No. Oh, excuse me. I thought we did. I'm sorry. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And to reconsideration. Anybody opposed? Okay. Three, four, five. Five reconsiderations. Motion passes to reconsider. Okay. All in favor? Okay, we passed that. We already did that. So now we read 53 again, okay, which has already been read in the record. Now, Ms. Gates. Motion to approve.
Motion to approve 53 as written.
Yes.
Without the amendments.
That's right.
Okay.
We've got a motion and a second. Thank you. Now we've got it. Discussion. Ms. Arnold, you wanted to make an amendment.
A point of information. What I wanted to understand what they just.
They basically, the motion on the floor is to accept
okay.
item 53 without any amendments. Ms. Arnold, if you want to make an amendment, now's the time to do that.
Well, the amendment that I have before you, colleagues, I believe you have a copy of it submitted. So at this point, Mayor, am I on the floor now to discuss what I have submitted?
Yes, you are.
All right. In the, if you will refer to the amendments that I submitted on Friday, my intention was to propose the funding of several items from the fuel tax, which I understand because we took the straw vote on last week, and basically decided to utilize that money, that it would not be available for use. Now, that is what I do understand. But that's why you see the amendments written as such. Amendment one, source of funds, would come from, amendment two would come from the fuel savings, and that was proposed for the animal shelter. So since that is off the table, as I understand it, I would like to move forward with some modifications of using the design studio amendment one to support the library's efforts to replace, rehab, or repair mobile library units. I would be willing to remove the rest of those proposals until I have, because I have an alternate solution for that. So what I would ask at this time is that I want to provide a motion to take $180,000 for the library mobile unit to replace, rehab, or repair those units from the design studio.
Second.
Thank you. So a motion is on the floor to amend this budget to cut planning and design studio by $180,000. And put it into the library budget.
Yes.
Is that correct,
yes.
Ms. Arnold?
Yes, specifically for that mobile unit.
Yes, all right. And we've got a motion in a second. Now, the way we do this is we will vote the amendment up or down to be added to the budget, and then we'll come back and vote the budget depending on that. So any other discussion on that?
Yes, Mr.
Mayor. Mr. Kingston?
Thank you, colleagues. Recall that City Design Studio has, up until now, just been the building advisory and design advisory service. This is not, as I understand Ms. Arnold's amendment and from the budget briefings that we've been given, any cut to the Neighborhoods Plus program or any effect on Grow South whatsoever. This could come entirely out of the design advisory services that are basically provided in my district, which I think is appropriate this year given the long history of the bookmobile in Dallas and our desire to spread library resources to parts of the city where it's hard for people to get to their local library branches. To me, this looks like a very reasonable, very tiny amendment that could really affect some of the people in our city who have the least access to resources. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Kingston. Hearing no other discussion, we are voting on the amendment of Ms. Arnold's. Let's do a record vote.
One moment, please. Please cast your vote. All have voted. Voting in favor, Council Members Medrano, Arnold, Clayton, Kingston, Griggs, and Young. Voting against, Council Members McGew, Thomas, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Wilson, Council Members Gates, Kleinman, Mayor Rawlings, Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo, Council Members Callahan, Council Member Grayson. The motion fails, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We will now discuss Ms. Gates' motion to approve the budget. Any discussion? Ms. Arnold, did you want to say anything else? No.
I do want to say this quickly.
Thank you, please.
With those modifications that I submitted, they were with the intention of supporting the library services. I do understand that many of the council is still in the dark as to what the design studio is utilized for. So I do appreciate the opportunity to at least stand up for the literacy in the city of Dallas. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd just like to point out to my colleagues that we received the beginning outlines of this budget at least 5 months ago, and we got a pretty good look at it in June. Since that time, on a $3.1 billion budget, we have agreed to adjust the budget a total of about $800,000. The fuel savings is a little different deal. We found those savings late. They got divvied up. But in terms of what was presented to us originally, we have moved the needle 0.025%. And I would submit to you that your work has been hard, and I appreciate all of your input on the budget, but we might want to re-examine the outcome we achieved for the work we put in, because I would suggest to you that we might have saved ourselves quite a bit of brain damage just adopting the thing in June. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. A record vote for Ms. Gates' motion.
Oh. 14 have voted.
Somebody hadn't voted.
All have voted. Voting in favor, Council Members Medrano, McGew, Thomas, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Wilson, Council Members Gates, Kleinman, Clayton, Mayor Rawlings, Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo, Council Members Callahan, Grayson, Griggs, and Young. Voting against, Council Members Arnold and Kingston. Motion carries, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Now we'll take up item 54. We'll have to take a record vote on that again.
Mr. Mayor, may I make the motion?
Even though we did 53 as we voted earlier, we still have to take a record vote?
Yes. Mr. Mayor, I have to make the motion.
Yes, Ms. Alonzo. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the property tax rate be increased by the adoption of a tax rate of 79.70 cents per 100 valuation, which is effectively a 4.88% increase in the tax rate.
Second. We got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, please vote. Record vote.
Fourteen have voted.
Somebody hadn't 14.
Voted. Mr. Mayor, all have voted on the motion. Voting in favor, Councilmembers Medrano, McGue, Arnold, Thomas, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Wilson, Councilmembers Gates, Clayton, Mayor Rawlings, Mayor Pro Tem Alonso, Councilmembers Kingston, Callahan, Grayson, Griggs, and Young. In favor and opposed is Councilmember Kleiman. The motion carries, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We'll take item 55.
Simply need a motion for approval, Mr. Mayor.
I'm sorry.
Second.
Motion is second. Thank you.
Wilson.
Any discussion? Hearing none. Vote.
One moment. I'm sorry. Please cast your vote.
This is item 55 that we voted on earlier.
All have voted. Voting in favor, Councilmembers Medrano, McGue, Arnold, Thomas, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Wilson, Councilmembers Gates, Clayton, Mayor Rawlings, Mayor Pro Tem Alonso, Councilmembers Kingston, Callahan, Grayson, Griggs, and Young. Voting against is Councilmember Kleiman. The motion carries, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We'll take item 56 through 61 individually, as was requested. Motion to approve item 56. Ms. Alonso?
So moved.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion? Any discussion? What's the record vote?
Please cast your vote.
She's shaking her head.
14 have voted. Thank you.
All have voted.
Okay.
Voting, Mayor, with all 15 council members present and all voting in favor, the motion carries.
Item 57.
So moved.
We've got a motion and a second for 57. Discussion. These do not need record votes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Opposed.
One opposed. Mr. Griggs, thank you. Motion carries. 58. We've read it in the record. Motion to approve. We have a motion and a second. Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No opposed. Unanimous. Thank you. Item 59. We have a motion and a second to approve. Any discussion? Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think that this has been, despite the multiple briefings that we've received on Neighborhoods Plus, the Department of Planning and Neighborhood Vitality and the duties of Chief Planning Officer, I think, have been insufficiently briefed, and I'd like to see these come back to Council. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. All in favor, oh, Ms. Arnold, excuse me.
No, I was gonna ask.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Three opposed, four opposed, four opposed. Thank you. Motion carries. Item 60, motion to approve.
So moved.
A motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. Did you want to speak on this one, you said, Ms. Arnold?
No, she was making sure. I was giving support to number 59, as
Mr. Kitchen
stated. Thank you.
Got it. Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Item 60 passes. Item 61. We got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Thank you. So item, did that work? We will now take up item 69. We will be doing items 69, 31, and 15 in that order, and we come back at the top.
Thank you. The following statement will apply to agenda items 65 through 69. By making and seconding the motions the council members represent, they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable of both the facts and the circumstances of the cases, and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Agenda item number 69 is authorized number one, the first five-year renewal option to the Management Services Contract Phase 2 with Bridge Steps for the continued operation, programming, and management of the bridge for the period October 1, 2015 through September 30, 2020. Number two, funding for the first year of the five-year renewal term in an amount not to exceed $3,800,000 for the period of October 1, 2015 through September 30, 2016. Number three, an interlocal agreement with Dallas County to accept $1 million to assist in providing homeless assistance services at the bridge. Number four, an interlocal agreement with Dallas County to accept 2015-16 Emergency Solutions Grant funds for shelter operations at the bridge in the amount of $113,357. And number five, use of the 2015-16 Emergency Solutions Grant funds for shelter operations at the bridge in the amount of $378,279. The item for approval will require 2 seconds.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion to approve. We got Ms. Alonzo second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all Mr. Kingston.
While we all appreciate the work of the bridge, I think that what we have learned recently from the experience of other communities, such as Salt Lake City, actually the entire state of Utah, and communities in Colorado and North Carolina, is that a shelter, while a necessary part of our reaction to homelessness and our compassionate care for people who are hard to house, is an insufficient measure. And I was very much hoping to see a change of approach this year. This is research that is new, but is fairly well tested. MDHA came and spoke to us about rapid rehousing, but what I see is that the deployment of the funds is the same as last year, basically. I'd very much like to see is that we hold this for 30 days, which I think will not, we could still accept the grants. I don't think that we need to sign the extension within the next 30 days and see if there's a way to deploy the money in a way that's a little bit more effective. Those of you who follow what's going on downtown and in these surrounding neighborhoods and Deep Ellum and the Cedars and Farmers Market know that what we have is, as shown by data gathered by Downtown Dallas Inc., a significant decline in the quality of life for our residents there. These are neighborhoods that have borne a community obligation to care for the homeless to a much greater degree than any other neighborhood. And it's time to find ways to give them some more help. So, Mr. Mayor, that is a, so I'll be a little bit more clear. That's a motion to proceed with getting the grants and the county interlocal. Yep. And hold off 30 days on the five-year renewal option so we can at least explore other potential expenditures.
I think that's just like voting to deny, but Mr. Ernst is not here, so. Is a motion to delay the same as a motion to deny? So we consider it. Okay, thank you. Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to echo some of the comments Mr. Kingston made. I do agree that we need to be doing more with that. Love the bridge, what they're about, what they do. Jay Dunn does a great job, but I do think that district is sheltering really an unfair burden. I think both districts 2 and 14, without a doubt, you know, they're the ones having to carry the load for the rest of the city. And Chief, I know you're over there. We're still having just a lot of outdoor sleeping on the sidewalks. I come through downtown all hours, and there's just lots of people just laying on the sidewalks and fences. Sometimes I see 10, 15 people laid out, and that's just really, folks, that's unacceptable for a city our size. I just would love to see an improvement there. I know we tried to change the entrance exit, you know, but that all that did is just move it over to the other side. And I don't know if we need another shelter, a bigger shelter, or just more enforcement on that, but it's just, in my viewpoint, something that those two councilmen shouldn't have to deal with in a downtown environment. It discourages people from coming downtown. It's it's risky, and I just think those people need to be in a shelter somewhere. They just simply need to go inside somewhere, but they should not be able to sleep on the streets. Thank you.
Thank you. We need a second to Mr. Kingston's motion.
Second.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Hart. Look, I've spent a lot of time in my life working with homeless, and I also agree that the answer to homelessness is a home. And we have got to create not only rapid rehousing, but permanent supportive housing. That is not going to be done in 30 days. We would put the bridge at a terrible disadvantage, cash flow issues. They try to raise a lot of private money, assuming that the city is going to do this. So I concur with the long-term strategy and would love to have a briefing from MDHA about how we're going to, or excuse me, maybe this is Mr. Griggs' area, in the housing committee, how we get permanent supportive housing done quickly. But I think it's naive to say that we're going to solve this problem in 30 days. And so it's very important. Otherwise, we're going to have big issues if the bridge runs out of money in a period of time. So I would ask you all to support, deny Mr. Kingston's motion and support Ms. Alonzo's, Mr. Callahan's motion. So we will take up the motion to defer. Voting for, you would defer this item for 30 days. Voting against, we would take up Mr. Callahan's. All in favor for deferring, say aye.
Aye.
For, any against? Aye. Aye. I assume the rest. So motion is denied. We'll take up Mr. Callahan's motion for this item. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those against? One. One. Thank you. Motion carries.
Thank you. We're going to move now to agenda item number 31. Authorized number one, acceptance of the 2014 100 Resilient Cities Grant from the Rockefeller Foundation to provide funding for economic resilience and preparedness for the rapid growth of natural and man-made disasters and the employment of a chief resilience officer for the period October 1, 2015 through September 30, 2017, and number two, execution of the grant agreement. Councilmember Kingston, pull the item.
Thank you. We will take a motion to approve first and second. Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This continues to be an issue that the manager has responded in an insufficient way on. I think there's pretty broad consensus that we don't hire permanent employees with temporary grants. This is a two-year grant for which we are putting a permanent employee in place. Unless I have misunderstood and this counts as a 24-month announcement of retirement for Ms. O'Donnell, and since I didn't see an invitation to a retirement party in 2 years, I'll assume that's not the case. If I'm wrong, please do correct me. But I can't, if we're going to accept a two-year grant, we need a two-year plan. So I can't support the motion to approve this with no sort of long-term strategic plan past 24 months. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Kingston. Ms. Arnold.
Yes, I too support the questions that posed here with the objection. Neighborhood Plus, in terms of the vision, is a good thing, I think, for the city, but there are still questions that are not answered in terms of the grant as well as the officer. And so that in order for me to serve District 4 in a manner in which I choose, which is to be knowledgeable and informed, I too will question the validity of this particular authorization. And I, of course, will not support it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
Opposed.
Three. Three opposed. Thank you.
We move now to agenda item number 15. Agenda item 15 is authorized payment to Dallas County for processing and housing prisoners at the Luce Derrick Criminal Justice Center pursuant to amendment number 4 to the Criminal Justice Center Memorandum of Agreement with Dallas County for the period October 1, 2015 through September 30, 2016. Councilmember Kingston, pull the item.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion to approve and a motion and a second. Discussion, Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My question to staff was, how would the estimate of the expense of this agreement be changed if we undertook measures to reduce incarceration, in particular the site and release program that we've been promised for about a year now? The answer to that was that it would reduce our expenses with the county and our need for putting prisoners in. So the question becomes, is the estimate of the expense correct?
Mr. Kingston, I think you're referring to the estimate we gave in the email about 2.6 to 3%, and that was an estimate provided by DPD on the impact of what site and release could have the impact, but that was for misdemeanors, I believe.
Right. Mr. Campbell, my question is, you've asked for $7.5 million for a critical city function, which is to pay the county for housing our incarcerated prisoners. If we reduce the number of those prisoners, do we save money? I think the answer is yes.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Well, so then we're talking budget today. Today's the $3.1 billion question, and we've all asked every department to try to be as efficient as possible. Is it possible to be more efficient here by locking people up at a lower rate?
The budget that's proposed is based on a two-year, 24-month average, the previous 24 months' activity. So if there is a decrease for this next year, then it would be impacted.
Could you introduce yourself to a couple of council people?
I'm sorry. Gloria Lopez Carter, Director of Court and Detention Services. If there is an impact, it wouldn't be until the next year, because it goes back 24 months to calculate this next budget amount.
So, well, you may have just answered this in a different way. Are you saying that the actual contract with the county floats based on the number of people we send them?
That's correct. There are a lot of other factors. It's the overhead, the cost, the prisoner amounts. And
so the sooner we reduce the number of people that we're incarcerating, the sooner our obligation to the county will come down through the operation of this agreement.
It could, but they are anticipating an increase for next year based on health cost, so that could have an impact as well.
Yeah, I know this is going to not...
Welcome to budget day.
Yeah, right. This is not going to sound very, very helpful, but basically the arrangement that we have with them is for us to be sharing the cost of the overall operation. Even if we have less prisoners that we're sending outside of our Class C misdemeanors, whoever are left are going to be adding cost to the overall operation. We get a pro rata share of that, and if those costs go up for other reasons, not necessarily having associated with our prisoners, then we're there to see about making up those costs.
Now I'm more confused. We're on the hook for expenses that our prisoners do not cause.
It's the cost of the operation as a whole.
And there's no way to scale the costs based on the number of prisoners?
You can scale, but it's not as direct as what I think you're suggesting.
Well, I mean, it doesn't have to happen day by day, but so at the end of this, supposing that we implement site and release next month, Are we going to save money within some reasonable period of time? I don't demand that people...
I'd like to hear your thoughts on that question.
So cite and release is an issue related to a state law change several years back where you could issue a citation for certain misdemeanor B offenses, which is our municipal courts run the misdemeanor C. So the misdemeanor B is a state law that allows for a misdemeanor B citation, which does not exist currently because the county runs the jail and they would have to create a misdemeanor B citation process and the infrastructure, clerks to enter the citation, and the way to set the docket from a citation standpoint. But just to go directly to the issue, one offense in that new state law is marijuana possession, low-level marijuana possession. There are other Class B misdemeanors in that list. So we looked at a five-year average of how many marijuana-only Class B misdemeanors we've done over the last 5 years. We do about 100 a month, arrest a month. That's about 1,200 a year over the last 5 years. So that's the average we projected going forward. And that's how we're able to give you that estimate. We have been in discussions with the county on this issue for more than a year. There is a cost to creating this process of either to the city or to the county, creating this process to cite low-level misdemeanor possession only. The way the law is written is very confusing. If they don't live in Dallas County, they cannot be issued a citation for marijuana-only possession. If they have other criminal charges associated with the possession of marijuana, you cannot write them a citation for it. So it's really a very narrow law that's, and I think it's intentionally written that way for college campus cities like Austin. So we're trying to navigate in a more urban environment than the law was meant to try to create a citation process. And that's been the difficulty over the last year. The county does not have the infrastructure, wants to pilot a program just for Dallas, whereas there's 30 other law enforcement agencies that utilize the county jail. And so it'd be difficult to have just a Dallas-only citation process. You have to have a Garland, Mesquite. Other cities have to participate sooner rather than later in this process of creating this infrastructure to enter citations, create a docket, much like our misdemeanor C courts are, which does not exist currently. So that's been a difficulty for more than a year. There's a willingness, but it's just difficult to get there. There is a cost we'd have to put in our budget if the county didn't want to share the cost.
It's going to be more expensive to do cite and release?
We still have the marijuana that we took. I'm trying to walk you through what would happen. Officer stops someone possession of marijuana only. They write a citation. They still have to take the marijuana and test it. They still have to take the marijuana, put it in the property room. They still have to do a offense report. All the things associated with taking the person to jail, you still have to do. So there's no time savings, but you have to then create positions in the county for clerks to enter the citations, which don't currently exist. You have to create a docket, and I suggest a court, to take the ticket only, cite and release, arrest, different than the people that we would take to jail for marijuana possession. So there is a cost associated with creating this new process of cite and release for marijuana only.
That's not very responsive, Chief. It's going to be more expensive to do cite and release than to incarcerate? That's what we're asking.
No, but it's not cost neutral. There's a cost associated with setting up the process.
We're
to
talking
write a citation.
Net cost, Chief. This is not a very difficult question. It's going to be more expensive, all in, to do cite and release than to incarcerate people for marijuana possession? That's what I hear you saying.
That's not what I'm saying.
Well, then the answer is no. It's not going to be more
expensive. It's not a yes-no answer.
We're going to save money. Thank
you. But it's not a yes-no answer.
Yeah, it pretty much is. And just so you're aware, multiple county officials have told me they're ready to go on this, and they're waiting on us. So I'm back to the original question. If we can get this implemented, are we going to save some money?
I think what we're both trying to communicate is that there may be some savings, but there may it will probably not be as much as you think because of these other costs. What I was trying to explain before was if you would look at cost in just two simple categories, fixed cost and variable cost. The fixed cost of operating the overall jail system would not be changed by the number of prisoners we bring in. Variable costs would be impacted. What we're really saying is that it's not going to be one for one cost savings. It will be something less.
Okay, I totally get that, but that's not a reason for not doing it, Mr. Gonzalez. And that's what I mean. All I'm asking you is make some changes and save some money. And all I'm hearing is it's hard. We don't want to do it.
Well, if that's what
and all costs are variable over time. That's a rule.
Right. So if you're hearing that we don't want to do it or we're not looking into it, then we miscommunicated. We are looking into it. We are interested in it. And to the extent that it can be savings, we would be doing it.
That's correct. We are.
Well, Mr. Mayor, thank you for the time. I'm sorry to have gone so long. Given the confusion, apparently, that swirls around this subject and about the basic math underlying the request for $7.5 million, I can't support it.
Thank you. Mr. Kleiman.
Hi. Just a question for staff. Would you consider this contract a take-or-pay contract?
It's along the lines of that.
And the take-or-pay is set based on the previous history of our...
Okay. Yes.
So I guess while I'm in favor of just paying the county for this, I really got to support Mr. Kingston's concerns that we're incarcerating people for nonviolent crimes, and it's got to be less costly. So maybe Mr. Medrano or someone can bring it to public safety for briefing, and we can pursue this.
It's scheduled for public safety.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. So we have a motion in a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? One, two. Thank you. And Mr. Medrano will brief it at public safety. Thank you. Let's take, what item was that?
Mr. Mayor, can
what
we
item
15,
was that?
Item one?
I want to go to item 67. I think Ms. Arnold wanted to make a motion on 67.
I understand that item will not be read into the record, Mr. Mayor?
Yes. What did you want to do with 67?
Well, with 67, what we were attempting to do was to put it on the agenda. I want to also give some of that question to Mr. Scott Griggs. Yesterday in Housing Committee, we pulled that for the purpose of reevaluating. And I want to defer to Mr. Scott Griggs to make sure I'm on the right track with that, because I want us to go ahead and take a position on it, but I don't want to move with those specs that we talked about yesterday with 14,000 square feet.
Mr. Griggs?
Yes, the item is coming back to the Housing Committee on October 5. So based on this being on the agenda, this item, we would like to return it to the committee and take no action at council until the committee does its work on, I believe it's Monday, October 5th, 2015 is the next Housing Committee meeting.
Second.
Is that correct? Is my calendar correct?
It's October 5th.
Thank you.
All right.
It's a motion to defer.
Motion to return to committee.
Return to committee, and take no action on this item.
Correct.
Okay?
Right.
Motion and second.
Mayor, just
yes,
a quick
Mr.
question.
Callahan.
What is the essence behind it to maybe increase the size of the house or the elevations?
Yes, sir. We need to revisit that, but I do want to make sure that I understand that I am operating in the right mindset this morning. We do want to submit it to committee, but I do want us to return it back to the full council. That is my real intent.
Okay.
But with those the need to discuss those other particulars. So am I in the right?
Yes, I think
all
we've
right.
got it.
All right.
Okay, I'm good.
Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Could we do addendum item one?
I do need to do that one, Mr. Mayor.
What's that?
Unfortunately, I left it off the consent, so I just need to read it. The speakers have already talked. Addendum item number one is authorize a one-year service contract to administer a volunteer income tax assistance program for low to moderate income families or individuals citywide.
Second. A motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say, Ms. Arnold, I'm sorry.
Oh, excuse me, Mayor.
All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Let's go back to the beginning of the agenda.
All right. You want to? We're going to hold speakers to 9 o'clock.
No, go ahead. I want to give them until 9. Make sure everybody see a few coming in, but I want to make sure everybody's here.
All right.
Let's
thank
just
you,
go
Mr.
back
Mayor.
To item number 7. I think Mr. Kingston
yes.
pulled that.
Thank you. Agenda item number 7 is authorize a 3-year subscription agreement with 2 1-year renewal options for a centralized risk claims management system, Origami Risk, LLC, most advantageous proposer of 4.
Thank you. A motion to approve?
Move approval.
And we've got a motion and a second. Mr. Kingston.
I got my questions answered. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. We move now to agenda item number 16.
And
16
17.
And 17 need to be considered collectively. Agenda item 16 is authorize a public hearing to be held on October 14, 2015 to consider the establishment of a property assessed clean energy PACE program for the City of Dallas pursuant to the Property Assessed Clean Energy Act, PACE Act, as amended. Agenda item number 17 is authorize a resolution of intent to establish a PACE program for the City of Dallas pursuant to the PACE Act. Councilmember Kingston pulled both items.
Thank you. Motion to approve.
So approved.
Thank you. And a second, Mr. Alonzo. Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to pull this to point it out to council members so you can be watching for projects for which it's appropriate in your district. This is similar to the way that the city finances environmental quality improvements in its own buildings, like the solar panels we're putting on the convention center, except this works for private industry for both new construction and remodeling. And it is a pilot program of the state. The Office of Economic Development under Carl's leadership has really become the state leader on this program. Office of Economic Development has done an incredibly good job. Those of you who know Garrett Boone know his passion for environmental quality, and he has been a champion for this. We've also received significant help from Schneider Electric, a very large electric equipment and services provider who've been really helpful to me in trying to find support for this program. Dallas is going to wind up being a leader on this deal, and it'll be interesting to see whose district gets the first one. I think it's mine, but we'll see. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 18 is authorized supplemental agreement number 1 to the contract with Southern Dallas Development Corporation to number 1, extend the term of the fourth and final renewal option from October 1, 2015 through March 30, 2016, and number 2, continue administration and loan servicing of the Community Development Block Grant Funded Business Revolving Loan Program. The item was corrected on the addendum.
Thank you. We've got Mr. Wilson made the motion. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 21, Councilmember McGew and Councilmember Arnold have a conflict on this item. 21?
No, it's Councilman McGew.
I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor, just Councilmember McGew has the conflict on this item. The record will reflect that Councilmember McGew has left the council chamber. 21 is authorize an interlocal cooperation contract for the Urban Land Bank Demonstration Program with Dallas County, Dallas Independent School District, Dallas County Hospital District, Dallas County School Equalization Fund, Dallas County Education District, and Dallas County Community College District to facilitate the Dallas Housing Acquisition and Development Corporation's land bank acquisition of unimproved tax foreclosed properties for sale to qualified developers for the development of affordable housing.
Speak up. We got a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Councilmember McGee may return to the council chamber. Agenda item number 22 is authorize a memorandum of understanding between the City of Dallas and Metro Dallas Homeless Alliance to provide homeless continuum of care operations and planning services for the period October 1, 2015 through September 30, 2016.
Thank you. Do we have a motion to approve? And I think Mr. Kingston, you pull it. Do you want to speak on this?
Mr. Mayor, thank you. This is, I'm proud to support MDHA, and I know that they have done a fantastic job trying to make sure that we live up to our commitment to compassionately care for the homeless. But I just wanted to reiterate that what I'll be looking for is a change in approach.
Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. We move now to agenda item number 52, and that is consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. We have full council and individual appointments. For full council appointment to the Housing Finance Corporation Board, Carlos Cavazos is nominated by Councilmember Callahan. To the Reinvestment Zone 4 Board Cedars Area, Kendra Ramick is nominated by Councilmember Medrano, meets the Dallas County resident qualification. To the Reinvestment Zone 10 Board Southwestern Medical, both nominated by Councilmember Medrano and meeting the Dallas County resident qualification, are John T. Wilson and Michael Serber. To the Reinvestment Zone 12 Board Deep Alum, nominated by Councilmember Medrano and meeting the Dallas County resident qualification, Colin Chase Evans. To the Reinvestment Zone 17 Board TOD, nominated by Councilmember Medrano and meeting the Dallas County resident qualification, are William S. Harris and Michael Sitorzewski. Agenda to the Reinvestment Zone 18 Board Maple Mockingbird, Michael Serber is nominated by Councilmember Medrano and also meets the Dallas County resident qualification. To the Reinvestment Zone 20 Board Mall Area Redevelopment, Bruce A. Berman is nominated by Councilmember Kleinman. Josh Womack is nominated by Councilmember Gates and co-nominated by Councilmember Kleinman. Arthur W. Collingsworth is nominated by Councilmember Kleinman. Jeff Kittner is nominated by Councilmember Kleinman and all meet the Dallas County resident qualification. For individual appointment, you have to the Animal Advisory Commission, Jody Jones, nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Alonso and meets the city official qualification. To the Board of Adjustment, Bruce Richardson is nominated by Mayor Rawlings. To the Cultural Affairs Commission, James N. White is nominated by Councilmember McGee and meets the performing arts expertise qualification. To the City Plan and Zoning Commission, Robert Uptahi is nominated by Councilmember Young. To the Municipal Library Board, Karen Blumenthal is nominated by Councilmember McGee, and M. Carol Johnson is nominated by Councilmember Kingston. To the Senior Affairs Commission, Carmen S. Arana is nominated by Councilmember Griggs, and John L. Johnson is nominated by Councilmember Thomas, and both meet the 55 plus year of age qualification. To the South Dallas Fair Park Trust Fund Board, Shaquan A. Lewis is nominated by Councilmember McGee and meets the active in the South Dallas Fair Park community qualification. Those are your nominees, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Motion to approve.
I'd like to pull out the Animal Advisory Commission one to vote separately.
Okay, hold on here. So this is everything but Jody Jones, okay? So we're voting on everything but Ms. Jones. There was a motion to approve. Do we have a second? We have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Mr. Mayor, may I ask a question?
Yes.
Sorry. May I ask why Ms. Jones was removed?
I bet we'll hear in a second. Okay, let me just take the whole vote. Go ahead. All in favor, we got that. Any opposed? We got none opposed. Motion is carried. Do we have a motion to approve, Ms. Jones?
Motion to approve.
We have a second? We have a motion and a second. Discussion? Any discussion? Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Jones is doing a fantastic job in her role as staff for the animal services, but the problem with putting the highest ranking staff member on the governing board is a governance problem. It it reduces the independence of the independent relationship between policy and execution, and it causes people to think that there's not sufficient independent oversight for animal services. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Griggs?
I agree with that. It's an advisory commission, and I don't believe we should put our any people at the director level. I think Jody Jones is doing a fine job. It's not a critique of her work on the Animal Commission, but to me, it's very similar to if like on this body we gave A.C. Gonzalez a vote or anything else, or if we put, it's just kind of, excuse me? I thought there was a comment over here.
She doesn't think they vote on the advisory board.
On the advisory board? Yeah, they take action and recommendations. And just putting that on there, I believe staff should be there to provide input and support, but putting someone on a board, on an advisory commission, is not the best governance, and so I will not be supporting this. But it's nothing against Jody Jones in her current role as a director.
Thank you. Mr. Kleiman?
Just to be clear, this is not a governing board. This is an advisory board. There are no votes that are binding, and there's no difference having her sit on this board than having her attend these board meetings. She's just providing advice to the city with regards to the policies there. So there's no actual governance in this board.
Several of us want to speak here, but I do believe that this is a policy issue. I guess the policy issue impacts this, but we can take this policy issue up in a separate time as well. So we've got to make sure that we deal with the policy issue correctly. Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I'm glad you mentioned that, Mr. Mayor, because we did vote on that to be able to allow them, first of all, and everyone, with the exception of the new members, voted for it, as well as this is a reappointment, so a renomination, excuse me. So she was nominated before, and the council sitting here, except for the new members, also approved it. So it's interesting that now it's different, but they're entitled to it. And colleagues, I ask for your support. This is something that not only went through the process like every requested or not, excuse me, every nominating member of any of the boards and commissions. So I ask for your support and ask for your approval as well.
Thank you. Ms. Arnold.
Yes, I too applaud Mrs. Jones for her work, and especially her guidance last week when we went out to on the mobile unit with the dog unit to monitor the effect of our Dallas Animal Shelter. I do know that her heart is in the campaign to pick up the dogs, and I applaud her. But I do have some concern with the conflict between these two positions, and I think it would be in our best interest to leave her in the capacity in which she was hired and then appoint someone who is not involved with day-to-day decisions up here with the city. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Could somebody qualify or explain if it's is there a requirement that a city official sit on this board?
This is the question.
What is that? I mean,
this follows state law, and state law specifies that you're going to have a veterinarian on there, a county official, a person who has experience in the operation of a daily operation of an animal shelter. And there's one other position, but that's about it. It doesn't say that you animal welfare and a person with an animal welfare experience. But state law does not say that you cannot appoint a city employer and employee of the shelter to the commission.
So, but it's not a requirement that we have somebody from the shelter sitting on that advisory
Correct.
Committee. But it has to be somebody familiar with operations. Daily operations. I've heard both things. I'm just confused.
One of the requirements is one member of the board must have duties including the daily operation of an animal shelter. So it does not, so
it doesn't
she
have to
would
be
meet
from
that
shelter.
Qualification, okay. But there may be other individuals who would also meet that qualification.
So she's meeting that qualification on the board now, but it doesn't have to be from the shelter. I just want to make that
correct.
Clear if it,
it could
has
be
to be.
Somebody from the SPCA involved in the daily operations of an SPCA shelter being on this board. That would also meet this qualification.
Okay, and her being part of the doesn't disqualify her either then, obviously, because she
correct.
Served before. Okay.
And if I might add just quickly, historically, that's it was a difficulty of finding somebody that met that specification, that why they went to that. So it, right. If you have somebody else that meets that qualification, that would...
Yeah, I'm just saying that theoretically somebody else could. The practical answer, I...
Thank you, Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I love Jody and love what she does, but I also just agree. I know I voted before for that, but I've had some pushback from even my Dallas Animal Services board member with regard to that. She feels somewhat like the fox guarding the hen house. And in a perfect world, I would rather our staff not be on these. I mean, they're going to attend. They're going to be there in an advisory capacity. But I just think it's not the smartest approach and, you know, going forward. I just think we ought to revisit that and make some decisions there. I respectfully appreciate what you're saying. The lady that I'm putting on that board going forward, she's with the, I think, ASPCA, so that might help that situation. But again, I love Jody and what she does, but I just think it's... we've got other people that can serve, and I think staff should be staff, and board members and commission members ought to be just that. And that's no disrespect to Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo. And again, I supported Jody and continue in the work that she does. I just think it's better to keep those separate.
Thank you. It seems to be a difference of opinion here, so I'll ask for a record vote on this. For the motion to approve her nomination.
Please cast your vote. All have voted. Voting in favor, Councilmember Thomas, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Wilson, Councilmembers Gates, Kleinman, Mayor Rawlings, Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo, Councilmember Grayson. Voting against, Councilmembers Medrano, McGee, Arnold, Clayton, Kingston, Callahan, Griggs, and Young. The motion fails, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo will take the gavel.
Thank you. We move now to agenda items number 63 and 64. These two are eminent domain items and will be read collectively into the record. If any council member wishes to pull any of the item for individual consideration, they may do so after the reading. A record vote will be required. Agenda item number 63 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of the power of eminent domain if such becomes necessary from First National Bank to acquire a tract of land containing approximately 16,022 square feet and approximately 14,167 square feet for a temporary working space easement located in Dallas County and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the Southwest 120-96-inch water transmission pipeline project. Agenda item number 64 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of the power of eminent domain if such becomes necessary from Southport Properties LP to acquire a tract of land containing approximately 326,430 square feet located near the intersection of Langdon and J.J. Lemon Roads and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the Southwest 120-96-inch water transmission pipeline project. Again, this item will require a record vote. We'll need a motion.
So moved. I'll entertain a motion. Oh, Mr. Wilson. Second. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And we will do a record vote.
One moment, please. Please cast your vote. Eight have voted. Okay, 13 have voted. Voting in favor, Council Members Medrano, McGee, Arnold, Thomas, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Wilson, Council Members Gates, Kleinman, Clayton, Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo, Council Members Kingston, Grayson, and Young. Voting no is Council Member Griggs. Absent on Absent, one vote taken are Mayor Rawlings and Councilmember Callahan. The motion carries.
Thank you. Item 65.
Agenda item number 65 was corrected on the addendum, and it is to authorize the first renewal option for 8-7 business assistance centers for a 12-month service contract with one additional 12-month renewal option subject to funding availability with the 7 business assistance center BOC contractors to provide technical assistance, incubator space, and other support services to low to moderate income persons owning or starting micro enterprises listed herein for each contract as follows. Number one, Greater Dallas Hispanic Chamber of Commerce in an amount not to exceed $80,000. The Dallas Black Chamber of Commerce in an amount not to exceed $80,000. Number three, Centex Certified Development Corporation, DBA, Business and Community Lenders of Texas, in an amount not to exceed $80,000. Number four, Business Assistance Center, Inc., in an amount not to exceed $80,000. Number five, Organization of Hispanic Contractors Association, DBA Regional Hispanic Contractors Association, in an amount not to exceed $80,000. Number six, Organization of Hispanic Contractors Association, DBA Regional Hispanic Contractors Association, in an amount not to exceed $80,000. And number seven, Centex Certified Development Corporation, doing business as Business and Community Lenders of Texas, in an amount not to exceed $80,000. The item will require two seconds for adoption.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas.
Thank you very much, Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo. Having served on the Community Development Commission for a number of years, we were responsible for dealing directly with BACs. And they serve a very valuable role in our community. And I want to make sure that going forward that we're very watchful, that we don't have BACs just functioning in name only, buildings where you drive by and you don't see individuals, you have to call and make an appointment. I don't think that serves a great role in the community. So I'm not gonna hold this item. We looked at it in economic development, but I want us to be mindful of that. And I ask that with support of our chair of our economic development committee that we get briefings on what's really going on at some of these BACs. Thank you very much.
Is that a motion? There was a motion.
I second
it. Mr. Medrano? And there's one second. I need one more. Second by Ms. Young. Second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Motion, one opposed. Motion carries.
Agenda item number 66 is authorize an amendment to the contract with the World Affairs Council of Dallas-Fort Worth for economic development and protocol services to, number one, extend the existing grant agreement from October 1, 2015 through December 31, 2015, and number two, increase funding by $62,500 for the additional services for 3 months. The item will require 2 seconds for adoption.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Two seconds.
Oh, I need 2 seconds. Excuse me, Ms. Grayson and Mr. Callahan.
Thank you.
Both?
Well, I'm sorry. Then who made the motion?
Mr. Wilson.
And the 2 seconds.
Excuse me. Ms. Grayson made the motion. Mr. Wilson and Mr. Callahan did the seconds.
Thank you.
Yes. Any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it.
Agenda item 68 is authorize an amendment to resolution number 150780 to number one, clarify the terms of the loan which will allow forgiveness to the nonprofit developer, Southford Community Development Corporation, and number two, the eligibility of developer fees for construction of 4 affordable single family homes located at 2825 South Boulevard. The item requires 2 seconds for adoption.
Is there a motion? There's a motion. Second. I need 2 seconds. There's another second.
Thank you.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it.
Thank you. We move now to addendum item number 7. And council members Griggs and Arnold have a conflict on this item. It's regarding attendance. Ms. Arnold.
Ms. Arnold. And Mr.
The record reflects both have left the council chamber. Agenda item 7 is a resolution designating absences by Councilmember Scott Griggs and Councilmember Carolyn K. Arnold as being for official city business.
Do I hear a motion?
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? Any questions? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it.
Madam Mayor, that concludes the morning items.
Okay, we will get our take our speakers this morning. If they could please come close to the podium. Will we
Thank you.
Be able to
take Your first off? Five registered speakers are Chantel Arashvand, William Wynn, William Hopkins, Richard Sheridan, and Diana Ramirez. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any speaker making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks will be removed from the chamber for the session of the meeting. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice a timer at the podium. When your time is up, please allow the next individual their turn. You should state your name and address for the record, as well if you have any handouts, we recommend that you hand them to our officer at this time, as it will affect your speaking time. Again, your first speaker is Chantel Arashvand.
Perfect.
Please proceed.
My name is Chantel Arashvand. I live at 9306 Clearwater Drive. Mr. McGue is my councilman. I gave you all a copy of a letter that was emailed to the Dallas City Council in January this year. This letter was appealing to the Dallas City Council to vote no for the purchase of hydrofluorosilic acid that is used to fluoridate the Dallas raw water. I know several of you are new to the council and did not receive this letter or take part in the vote on January 28th. This letter is from Dr. Dan Strader. Dr. Dan Strader is here this morning. He's hoping he and a few before him will get to move forward so he can speak to you today. He and his wife are both born in Dallas and his office is in Dallas. Dr. Strader has very valid reasons for opposing fluoridation. Mayor Pro Tem, the council needs to hear from doctors and experts that oppose fluoridation. I believe many of you think fluoridation is safe and effective, but it's not. Mayor Pro Tem, you would admit we have a representative form of city government, but there has not been one town hall or one open public hearing for you or the other elected officials to hear from the public. The Quality of Life and Environment Committee only met once last year on this very important issue. This one committee meeting lasted only 27 minutes, and only the water utilities presented information and answered questions. Yesterday, the Budget and Audit Committee met for an hour and 36 minutes. During the meeting, Mr. Griggs wanted to make it very clear to those listening, quote, water meters are not accurate. It's good he repeated this several times. This is a problem that should not be overlooked. But what about the accuracy of the fluoride injection system? This is a problem being overlooked, and the result is far worse than financial. A very important note, we are not suggesting removing fluoride from the raw water. Just don't add more to it. I encourage the people listening to this message, especially the mayor and the council members, to go to dogsagainstfluoridation.com and see why I am here today. Finally, you and the council have been alerted to many concerns about fluoridation. These concerns are backed by science and facts. The pro-fluoridation claims, slogans, and anecdotal stories are not. It is wrong for you and this council to continue a program without sincerely putting down your bias and truly studying this issue. We need a public hearing now. Thank you all for your time.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Your next speaker, William Wynn. Mr. Wynn will be followed by William Hopkins, Richard Sheridan, Diana Ramirez, Clara McDade. Please proceed.
My name is William Wynn. I live in Dallas in District 13. Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo, I'm coming before you today to request that the Dallas City Council hold a public meeting soon to debate the issue of fluoridation. Specifically, I request that Councilmember Sandy Grayson, Chair of the Dallas Quality of Life and Environment Committee, schedule an open public hearing on fluoridation to take place within the next 90 days. The focus of the meeting would be to determine whether fluoridation of Dallas city water is both safe and effective. To that end, I request that officials from the Dallas Water Utilities Department be invited to explain current practice and answer questions. I also request that recognized experts from both the pro-fluoride and anti-fluoride camps be invited to address the committee. All expert speakers should be given enough time for them to present their evidence in full. However, all officials and expert speakers should be required to substantiate their claims before the committee with documentation. I recommend that the pro and anti-fluoride expert witnesses be given an opportunity to cross-examine each other and the Dallas Water Utilities officials as well. I further request that the testimony of the expert witnesses be followed by an open mic session during which members of the public could have the opportunity to pose questions to the water utilities officials and the expert witnesses. I further request that both the meeting and the open mic session be broadcast real time to remote listeners by streaming video. I also request the meeting be archived on the city's website for the benefit of future viewers. To conclude, I believe that holding such a meeting as I've described just now would largely allay widespread citizen perception that the City of Dallas fluoridates municipal water without proven scientific justification, and that the City of Dallas is indifferent to recent scientific research and the desires of its citizens for safe drinking water. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next speaker, William Hopkins. Not present. Richard Sheridan. Mr. Sheridan will be followed by Diana Ramirez, Clara McDade, and James Armstrong.
Good morning, City Council. Mayor Alonzo, appreciate being here. Yom Kippur, time of atonement. Time to ask for forgiveness. This is what this speech is partially about. Dog care before Dallas homeless vet care. Few facts here: about 300,000 veterans have died waiting for health care. Carly Fiorina, presidential candidate. Dallas is not prepared for returning veterans. CBS 11 News, 2013. 25% of our homeless population are veterans, Operation CARE. The majority of our homeless are black men and women with children. Dallas has continually lied about its homeless population, claiming it's been going down with a today count of 3,200. There are three times that amount with about 10,000 homeless. Today, the City Council is showing great concern over the epidemic of homeless dogs in South Dallas, much more concern than for our homeless. Today, Dallas City governments claim that the answer to homelessness for all homeless is housing. The reality of the homeless problem is that if we give jobs to about one-third of our homeless, they won't need permanent housing, which makes a lot of money for some predatory homeless service providers. Emergency sheltering and transitional housing is virtually being ignored. There's no money in it for the homeless service providers, predators. 10 cities work. Seattle is the best example in over 20 cities in the United States, but Dallas won't have it. Dallas' homeless program is mostly about appearances and making the politicians look good. It's like putting lipstick on the pig. This is my 13th year advocating for the biblical, the godly treatment of our homeless. What I've seen in these years has brought me great sorrow and great anger. What I've seen concerning the treatment of our homeless is cruel and unusual punishment. What I've seen in some of the city's favorite homeless service and housing providers making money from the unnecessary suffering of the homeless. What I've seen is this city and county preferring their homeless be put in jail and allowed to get sick, treating mentally ill in the jail with two to three times greater the cost than giving them basic Christian care. Sometimes that anger has caused me to either get arrested, removed from these chambers, portrayed by some politicians in the media as a crazy lunatic. To counter this, I respond with the fact that Pastor Joe Clifford of First Presbyterian Church, the mayor's pastor, has called me a John the Baptist. Don't believe me? Ask Joe yourself. Many now believe that we are now in the final days and the end times as prophesied in the Bible's revelation. The Pope is soon to come to America to redress his grievances on our nation's evil perpetrated both as citizens and the world. And this is not just our government that are up to no good, it's many of our citizens. Let's get to Matthew 25:31. It's a warning to us. But when the Son of Man shall come in his majesty and all the angels with him, and before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the wheat from the goats. The goats on the left, and then he will say to the goats on the left, depart from me, you cursed ones, into the everlasting fire which was prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you did not give me to eat. I was a stranger and you did not give me in, take me in. And these will go into the everlasting punishment. Lastly, so to the goats that are among the city council and the commissioner's court.
Thank you, Mr. Sheridan.
Your souls are in jeopardy, but there's still time to repent and to make things right before God's judgment will come upon you all.
Thank you, Mr. Sheridan.
Your next speaker, Diana Ramirez. Ms. Ramirez will be followed by Clara McDade, James Armstrong, and Ben Brown.
Good morning. My name is Diana Ramirez. I live in 1603 Thomas Wood Lane, Dallas, Texas, 75253. I'm the campaign organizer for Workers Defense Project, and I was here about a month ago telling you the story of a 25-year-old father who died of a heat stroke in North Texas. His family now has to live with the fact that his death was entirely preventable, and as you all know, and I assume that most of you heard of this issue more than a year ago, Workers Defense Project has been fighting to get construction workers a well-deserved rest break for, I want to say, maybe a year and a few months ago. I just want to let you guys know that you all have the power to make a difference in the lives of working families here in Dallas. We are looking to you for your leadership in ensuring the basic safety of hardworking construction workers. I will also like to invite all of you to a thirst strike that we will be having on Tuesday, September 29th at 11 a.m., from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. We would like to have you all join us during this action to show support for hardworking construction workers and their families. This thirst strike will be here in the plaza of the City Hall. We'll be with some allies, faith leaders, and hopefully some of you guys. Now, it is my understanding that, unfortunately, the mayor's not here, but Mayor Pro Tem, it is my understanding that the mayor is going to put this item back on the briefing agenda within the next month. And I just want to verify that with you and ask you to confirm that info with me and know if that item will be back on the agenda within a month.
We'll make sure we let you know, but why don't you continue and we'll finish up.
Well, that's basically all I had for today. I just invite you guys to come to this action next Tuesday. Show your support for construction workers and to verify and to confirm that this item will be back on the agenda within the next month.
Thank you. Thank you. I can't speak for the mayor, but I'll make sure we ask him. But I'm going to refer to Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Ms. Alonzo. I did speak with the mayor, and it's in the next month or two. We're backed up on our briefing agendas, but he did say that he would put it on for a full council briefing within the next month or two.
Thank you.
Mr. Clayton?
I was just going to say, and thank you, Ms. Grayson, for clarifying on that. I think this is something that's vitally important that we look at. You know, we do have an issue. We do live in a hot climate, and I think, you know, when compromises have been tried to be struck in the past, that it's been watered down to the point where it had no teeth. And I think this is something that's reasonable that we can do as a council to address this, to take care of all of our citizens. And so I'm very much looking forward to that presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Mr. Alonzo, Mayor Ross said 9 o'clock.
One second, we'll make sure we call you.
Okay, he said 9 o'clock.
Make sure we'll call you. Yes, and we finished earlier, but we got you on the list.
Right. And actually, your next speaker will be William Hopkins.
Mr. Hopkins?
Mr. Hopkins, you're up.
Mr. Hopkins?
I know, you know, y'all think this is a lot of fun and games. You know, we laughing and giggling. Mr. Alonzo, the people dying in West Dallas. I had a meeting with you and the city attorneys, and they told you that the people that's dying, that the city did the health program, and that they were gonna show you where the papers to show you where the city had did. The city sued the RSR lead smelter and got the money and keeping the money and letting the people die in West Dallas. Mayor Rollins running around, had me coming here at 7 o'clock, then 9 o'clock, then 10 o'clock. You know, we playing all these games. But at the same time, my mother and father dead, my brother dead, Margaret dead, my sister dead, Ms. Alonzo. My brother Dwayne just died. Charles Goodman died asking you for help. We had a meeting with you. We done had a meeting with Scott Griggs. Scott Griggs and the attorneys told us that the city's already helping. They already doing what the lawsuit said. That Scott Griggs and the city attorney lied, letting the people die. We had a meeting with you, Ms. Alonzo. I know all this is funny, we playing, but them people dying, my family, my brothers and sisters, man, and my mama and daddy is dead from lead. The Dallas Morning News tested our yard, Ms. Alonzo, and 2012 told us, let the kids play in the front, but don't let them play in the backyard because the lead level is too high, William, in my mother's yard. My kids and grandkids, everybody upgrown and suffering. And what they told you wasn't true, Mr. Alonzo. You know it. You just sitting there because Mayor Rollins owned slaves. His family owned slaves. Is that why you got to sit there by you being Hispanics and his white supremacy and his family owned slaves? Is that why you sitting there let Charles Goodman died asking you for help? Can you just comment on that? I ain't gonna say nothing about my family and my brothers. Charles Goodman told you, say, Mr. Alonzo, this is a lawsuit that the city sued had a health insurance for us. Can I use that health insurance? Charles Goodman asked you, can I use that? I'm sick, Mr. Alonzo. Can I use that health insurance? You want me to tell his family anything before I leave? And he asked you, he did. Do you want me to tell his children and his wife anything before I leave?
Mr. Hopkins, will you please say your name and address for the record, please?
I don't want to say my name. I don't want to say my name. I want to say that the people that are dying in West Dallas, I want to say that all of y'all know, Ms. Gates, her father got a contract. Roger Staubach got a contract in West Dallas. So you can't say nothing about the people dying because you got to help her and her father with the contract in West Dallas. Salazar came down here with that contract and you helped him, but that company hired Salazar. But if that was Don Hill, somebody, the FBI be investigating, Mr. Alonzo, that contract you did with, and then the man hired Salazar, and then all of a sudden everything changed. If that would have been any black, the FBI would be down here. FBI know we dying in West Dallas. They white. You Hispanic, you know we dying in West Dallas. You just sit there and let the people die in West
Dallas. Thank you, Mr. Hopkins.
You're welcome, Mr. Alonzo.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Your next speaker, Clara McDade. Ms. McDade will be followed by James Armstrong, Ben Brown, Ella Good Johnson, and Israel Finnanen.
Good morning. Clara McDade. I have been a citizen of the Dallas since 1963. Okay, my topic today is City of Dallas bamboozle the real citizens of the Holland Hills community. A month ago, on August 10, 2015, I brought in over 100 names indicating that we do not want no MRF in the community of Holland Hills. The name submitted was overlooked. The city had meetings building up to bamboozle, tricking the community. On the last meeting, city had planned there were unrecognizing people voicing their opinion. No one I recognize. And I've been in the community since, like I said, 1963. I feel these people are just as some who represent our city as leaders, bought and paid for. Even if your family was once a slave owner, that doesn't mean that these days you still practice buying people. But I say you can only buy those who do not have standard and integrity. Some people do not know how to make money. They allow money to make them. And most of them end up in jail because of greed and stupidity. As my father would say, who would be 94 years old today, who is deceased, he would say, What goes around must come back around. And what goes up will definitely come down. And always remember, a warning come before destruction. I still say no MRF. And I am a taxpayer in the community of Highland Hills. There was not enough information provided to us. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Next speaker, James Armstrong, Ben Brown, Ella Good Johnson, Israel Finnanen, Daniel Strader will follow.
Morning. My name is James Armstrong. I reside at 1839 Lee Street, 75212. I stand as an advocate. I know this item has been pushed back, but on this morning, I stand as an advocate for the Neighborhood Plus program. As a pastor in West Dallas and as a financial advisor in one of the wealthier parts of Dallas, I see on a daily basis the fact that Dallas is, in fact, one of the poorest, richest cities in America. My 10-minute commute from my office to my church, I go from seeing Bentleys and BMWs to broken-up sidewalks and boarded-up homes, strategic development to stray dogs. We all know the statistics, but I think they bear repeating. Over the past decade, the poverty line for Dallas residents has grown from 18% to 24%. The Urban Institute ranked Dallas as having the worst neighborhood inequality than any other city in our country. Our home values and incomes are over 6 times higher, and our home ownership is 2 times higher in wealthier census tracts than poor census tracts. As leaders, we can do better because our city deserves better. Dallas is an amazing city and is growing by leaps and bounds, but Dallas lacks the framework for a process of collective impact. As a District 6 appointee to the Housing Finance Corporation Board of Directors, I know firsthand what it's like to aim at being an effective board, but being hindered because there's no clear vision across city departments. It seems as if we're all on the same team and we're all wanting to win, but we're all having different plays. We need a plan that will focus every city department towards targeting the high areas of need. We also need staffing that would assure that the lines of communication between each department and the external partners remain clear and the implementation is carried out. Because we know that a plan without a plan for implementation is just an idea. We must plan the work and then work the plan. I believe that Neighborhood Plus is that plan. For those that would pose the argument that the Neighborhood Plus program is only slated to benefit the southern sector of Dallas, I would say that a win for the southern sector of Dallas is also a win for the entire city. Secondly, we must view the Neighborhood Plus program as a new process that, if implemented, would have all city departments and city external partners working together to tackle the issues that plague our city. Simply put, the Neighborhood Plus program would increase the efficiency of our city government. Remember, we must not only measure the growth of our city by revenue dollars, but also by the strength of our neighborhoods. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Armstrong, or Pastor Armstrong, I apologize. Next speaker.
Next speaker is Ben Brown, followed by Ella Good Johnson, Israel Finnanen, and Daniel Strader.
Yes, yes, my name is Ben Brown. I'm in District 8. Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Eric Wilson is my council person. I've been attending meetings held by mostly Casey, Councilman Thomas, and I am here to speak in favor of the funding for the Neighborhood Plus staff to ensure that this program is carried out. I'm very excited about it. I was excited about the Grow South campaign, and I'm even more excited about the Neighborhood Plus program. I too serve on the Housing and Finance Corporation Board this year. I'm also the housing chair for the Dallas branch of the NAACP. Most importantly, I'm here on behalf of the Dallas Association of Realtors, with a minority trade organization that specializes in the real estate field. And we are very excited and we're really enthusiastic about being a part of this program and being productive partner in it. So we're hoping that it will go forward. The Dallas Association of Realtors is a productive partner, and that the City of Dallas move in their efforts to upgrade the southern sector of our city. Thank you very much.
Your next speaker, Ella Good Johnson. Ms. Johnson will be followed by Israel L. Finnanen and Daniel Strader.
Good morning, Mayor Pro Tem and members of the Dallas City Council. My name is Ella Good Johnson, and I am a longtime member of the City of Dallas, a resident here in District 3. I am here today to speak in support of funding for Neighborhood Plus. I commend the City of Dallas for coming up with a comprehensive plan to address issues in our community that have caused many of those in the middle class to move away from our city. I stand here asking you to do for us only what you can do, and that is to completely fund the positions necessary to implement this program and show us that this new City Council is committed to work together to bridge the gap between the North and the South in the City of Dallas and to make Dallas a whole city. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next speaker, Israel Finnanen, Daniel Strader, Mark York, Corey Kennedy, David Williams, Rayshonda Holt, and Caribou Kabadi will follow.
Greeting, Council. Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo. I'm with Empowering Oak Cliff. I'm the president of Empowering Oak Cliff, and I'm here also to support the funding for Neighborhood Plus. My council person is Carolyn Arnold. And 6 months ago, I found out about a thing that the council people was talking about called the donut hole. I live in the donut hole. The donut hole is a item that they came up with for my neighborhood, Cedar Crest area. Everything's happening around the Cedar Crest area, but nothing is happening inside the new Cedar Crest area. Once before, the Cedar Crest area was a very high influence area with doctors, lawyers, black doctors and lawyers. Now, these same black doctors and lawyers have got older. So the community haven't grown and no kind of development has been done. Neighborhood Plus is not right now, is not slated for District 4, but it's close enough where the new generation, if they see some new development happening, they can change their culture and they'll say, well, hey, if they can do it the next block over, why we can't have it? And that's the problem that we have now. I do a lot of things at Roosevelt High School and the different things at the Roosevelt High School feeding pattern. Yesterday, I visited Roosevelt High School, and a teacher told me that he'd been having the same drip in a faucet for 2 years. Now, this Neighborhood Plus program emphasized about schooling, education. If we can get that to start happening, that means that two-year drip will become a one-day drip, and we can get it fixed. The same thing about our kids. Our kids don't know no more. The only thing they know is that community. They don't know about going sitting at a Starbucks and doing Wi-Fi and holding a meeting. All they know about is going to a 7-Eleven, getting their stuff, and getting out. We don't have the same advantages that other people have. This Neighborhood Plus will bring those advantages to the Oak Cliff Southern intersection. And that's all I'm asking. I'm asking for a chance. I'm asking a chance for our little kids because they don't have no kind of future with the way we're going now. It's the same old thing. Then we're going to have them in the system. And once we have them in the system, then we done lost another generation. Thank you. Israel Finnan, Empower No Cliff.
Thank you. Ms. Hartle?
Just quickly, I did want to, and it is always good to see constituents come to City Hall. As a representative and elected official, Dallas City Council District 4, I am still working to serve our community. On the neighborhood piece, I wanted to make sure my constituents do understand that we are still in the research mode, the briefing mode, and so I have not fully vetted the program, so therefore we've not had those community meetings to give the information on the total plan because we don't have the total plan. And so that is why I've shared that information with my constituents, but I did want to make sure that I underscored that I know a number of people have been briefed through my council member cohort, Mr. Thomas, but I've not participated in those, so I wanted to make sure that I go on the record that I have not fully gained the insight that I need, and I appreciate them coming, though. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Next speaker.
Daniel Strader, Mark York, Cora Kennedy, David Williams, Rayshonda Holt, and Carabel Kabadi will follow.
Mayor Pro Tem, council members, first I want to apologize that this is my first time to speak and I didn't realize this is a jacket and tie affair. But my name is Dr. Daniel Strader, and I was born here in Dallas at Baylor Hospital, and my wife was born at Parkland. I am a member of the American Dental Association and recipient of the Texas Dental Association's Honorable Order of Good Fellow. I received my dental degree from Baylor College of Dentistry and have practiced in Preston Center for 39 years. I have seen changes in the science of dentistry and our responsibility to the community. I commend you on your recent decision to require dental offices to have an amalgam separator to remove the mercury from the dental wastewater. I personally have had a dental amalgam separator for 11 years. At a previous council meeting, Councilmember Sandy Grayson asked the question why the Park City's water treatment plant does not add fluoride to the water. The head of the Park City's treatment plant, Robert McCormick, said he has been working there 28 years and he knows that fluoride has never been added to the Park City's water supply. He said that back in the mid-60s, when it was put forth to a referendum, the people of University Park and Highland Park voted against adding fluoride because of the risks of toxic side effects. The American Dental Association has made the decision no longer recommending using fluoridated water for the mixing of infant formula. A Harvard study shows that children who drink fluoridated water on the average have lower IQs. Fluoride can cause children to get permanent white and brown spots on their teeth and weak points in the enamel. Fluoride competes for iodine in the thyroid, much like carbon monoxide competes with oxygen in the red blood cells. There's research that shows that iodine levels increase the chances, low iodine levels increase the chances of breast cancer, fibromyalgia, and obesity. I have high blood pressure, and one could suggest putting blood pressure medicine in the water supply, but obviously there would be no control over dosage. That's the problem with fluoridated water, is there's no control. Drink a little water, get a little fluoride. Drink a lot of water, get too much fluoride. Council members, I'm asking you not to remove fluoride from the water supply, but to simply quit adding fluoride to the water. Thank you.
Thank you, next speaker.
Your next speaker, Mark York. Mark York, Cora Kennedy, David Williams, Rayshonda Holt, and Carabel Kabadi.
Morning, City Council, brothers and sisters and siblings. My name is Mark York. I represent the Dallas AFL-CIO. My address is 1408 North Washington Avenue. Good morning. Over a year ago, we had come before the City Council in regards to a rest break ordinance. And we heard a lot of reasons on why it shouldn't go forward or why it was such a bad idea. We heard things like, well, we already do that because we can't find people. We have to give them water instead of it was the right thing to do. We heard arguments that said, I can't believe they or those travel thousands of miles to come here and take a job. If they don't like it, they can quit and go next door. I couldn't believe I heard that either. We heard a lot of reasons why it was too hard to implement. But now, finally, someone had to die. I know I'm not supposed to take this personal, folks, but I have one child. His name's Miles. He's 27 years old. He's a product of a 30-year marriage. He's all I have. He's the only thing I have to know that I was on this earth. And I just couldn't imagine losing my only child over what? A drink of water? I just can't get my arm around that. I don't want my son to die or anybody else's child or mother or father to pass away. So finally, what I really realized last year when we were trying to get this rest break ordinance, it really wasn't about a drink of water. It wasn't about a rest break. We couldn't get a 1 second rest break. What it was really about, that we didn't want workers to have any voice at all in their workplace. That's what it was really about. What we take for granted, each and one of us, those out there in the construction industry that work in the darkness, they have to stay in the shadows. That's what they're asking for. So going forward, and I'm glad that this is coming back up on the council, and we have a council now that understands what it's like to work hard. We hope that this will go forward with some teeth in it and that nobody else has to die. And once again, thank you, City Council, for your day. Have a good one.
Thank you, Ms. Weir.
Cora Kennedy, not present. David Williams, not present. Rayshonda Holt. Thank you. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm sorry, Mr. Williams is on his way down. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
You may proceed.
Put the mic down.
Thank you. I would still like to address this even in the mayor's absence. I wanted to congratulate him on saving a life, and I wondered, how is it that I've been coming to speak for over 3 years, and yet you have yet to offer me an opportunity in the mayor internship program? And why is it that with the support I have given to the Men Against Domestic Violence, not once have you been willing to do an event in Oak Cliff for students impacted by domestic violence? Mayor Rawlings, even though you are absent, you have yet to come to the Singing Hills community to see the impact of your approval for more beer stores in schools, recreation centers, or educational empowerment for the students of Oak Cliff. How do you feel you can grow the South when the jobs in the South Dallas area are not given to the Dallas residents? Or maybe you can explain how $60 million can be paid to employees that don't have verifiable employment, but we don't have the budget for body cameras for every police officer. How do you feel that it is acceptable to know that I plan to be the youngest and first black mayor of Dallas to serve a full term, and you don't have the heart to give guidance or even a job shadow opportunity with your office? To Councilman Griggs, as a new constituent of your district, I would like to schedule a meeting with you to discuss youth outreach and support. Congratulations to all the newly elected city council members. Councilman Thomas, I look forward to meeting with you as well. Lastly, of all the council members attending the National Leagues of City, I challenge you to, in November, allow me the opportunity to attend as youth representative for my great city. And also, Mayor Mike Rawlings and other council members, I would like to thank you for your donations to the Fort Oak Cliff Back to School Fair. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo.
Mr. Thomas.
Yes, thank you. David, I appreciate you coming down, and I'm hoping that you were able to get all my messages. I invited you to lunch. My assistant said that we hadn't been able to get together on a date, but I want to make sure you got that information because I want to sit down and talk with you because I would like to have you as an intern in my District 3 office. If yes, that's sir. Okay with Councilmember Griggs.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you. Your next speaker, Rayshonda Holt.
Good morning to the council. My name is Rayshonda Holt, address 302 Pemberton Place, that's Cedar Hill. I am standing here on behalf that I am a business owner in the South Dallas area at 1902 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, and I also serve on the Grow South Advisory Council. I'm here for the funding of Neighborhood Plus. After attending the Neighborhood Plus meeting here last week, the 6 strategic goals, 1, collective impact framework, 2, alleviate poverty, 3, flight blocks,
blight, attract and retain the middle class, expand home ownership, and enhance rental options. And in looking at those, the issue that I stand before you is flight blight. I'm right located on the Martin Luther King Hardwood area, the strip mall where the Black Forest Theater is. And one of the things that we look out at and that my clients complain a lot about is that we have a lot of homelessness. They knock on my door. We have to keep the door locked during the daytime. They come by. Some of them are naked. They're having drug issues or whatever like that. With what Neighborhood Plus proposes in collaboration with Grow South and with the other city departments, I see a way that that can be changed. Fixing up some of the buildings, making it attractive. When you look around South Dallas, down by Exposition and the Fair Park, it's being edified, it's being beautified where people like that entrance. But when you exit off of 45 straight into Martin Luther King, the area is not attractive. And people that I have people fly in from out of town, come from north, and they said, I love your facility, we'll follow you anywhere. But why did you move to South Dallas? It's so distasteful. Look at all this homelessness right there along Harwood. They live up under the freeway, tents and stuff everywhere. Instead of them having trash cans to throw the stuff in the trash, they just throw it in front of the shop strip. Even the shopping strip that I'm in, most of the suites are empty. So the homeless people just lay in front of them with their mattresses. This is going on in broad daylight. So I feel like with the collaborativeness of the community, because it's going to take the community as well, we stand before you and we ask for things, but if we're not willing to engage instead of being entertained with mediocre stuff all the time, together we cannot make Neighborhood Plus work. So I hope that and pray that the council and the mayor and the other constituents will look at the collaboration of Neighborhood Plus with Grow South and the other city departments and be able to come together and strategically work together, revitalizing one neighborhood at a time, because that's what it's going to take to see Dallas grow in a way to where people would love to come to Dallas. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your final speaker for the morning session.
Mr. Thomas, did you want to say
something? Yeah. I wanted to commend those who came down and spoke. And if you notice, some of them have on green, which is a color of vitality, and some of the council members as well. So we also wanted to make sure that that we understand how important Neighborhood Plus is. That we can come together hopefully in 2 weeks when we take this as an item and unanimously send a message to the city. But I wanted to thank those who came down and spoke and others who just came down to have a presence to show how important this is to the community. Then I also want to take a minute to commend Councilwoman Young for her efforts already, what she's doing over in South Dallas to address many of the concerns that Ms. Hope brought up. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas. Mr. Callahan?
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I agree with what's been said and really appreciate the great show of support for the Neighborhoods Plus concept, and we really hope that we can get this thing off the ground. What the young lady just said is just so true. I drive in through Al Lipscomb Way to Harwood and Ackard and some of those streets every single morning on my way to council. And again, as I said earlier this morning, you know, there's just open sleeping on lots, people laying in the intersections, laying up on the sidewalks, people just wandering out in the streets, you know, from drugs and alcohol. And, you know, we just turn a blind eye to that every day. And it's just, you know, I appreciate what Ms. Young is doing now. And I know Ms. Davis worked hard in that area. But it's just something that we need to get our minds around in this city. It's just unacceptable for a city this size to function that way. You know, we got a great police department. I know they're shorthanded at times, but we have got to get our arms and our minds around this problem. You know, it's just every single day, you know, we've got to do better. I don't have all the plans and all the strategies, but we definitely need to sit down and make a list and get started on it and get started. Just today would not be too early. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Clayton.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. To echo Mr. Thomas, you know, the thing about Neighborhood Plus is this is something that's not just South Dallas or the southern sector. It is all of Dallas. The one thing as we come back to council about this that I'll consistently challenge, and I agree with AC that this is something that's a directive, a way we want to do business, but it has to be an actual. Until we make Neighborhood Plus a situation where at the highest levels, an ACM level, at a director level, that it's a part of their annual reviews and the implementation of the actionable items, the 88 items, I think it is, of Neighborhood Plus, if that's not part of the review structure, then it's not going to work. So that'll be the thing that I keep pushing hard for is, it's great in theory, let's make it actionable, because if it is, it can be a turning point in Dallas. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Next speaker is Carabel Cabetti.
Good morning, Mayor Pro Tem, member of the councils. My name is Carabel, and I'm District 1. I'm here on behalf of ALU DFW, Limousine Independent Limousine Association. In 2015, City of Dallas implemented a fundamental and dynamic transportation fire regulation, and we support it in expectation that it protects public safety, modernized regulation, and takes significant steps toward a fair playing field for all parties while maximizing the range of transportation options available for Dallas residents, visitors, and businesses. What we faced in reality is a disruptive to a multiple industry, economic interest, and depriving economic opportunity for licensed professional transportation providers, such as limousine, taxis, and shuttles. The new regulation is highly skewed to benefit only the rideshare providers, such as Uber and Lyft, and has unintended consequences of creating monopoly focused on a maximized profit by undercutting price. Uber and Lyft's goals is clear. It's to turn virtually anyone with a car into a potential part-time income earner. The city should revise its ordinance to control monopolies to ensure a fair practice and pricing, and revise regulation that is fair and allow different modes of ground transportation to compete directly with each other to provide a better quality service and affordable fare that customer can choose. The Limousine Association urges the mayor and the city councils members to establish task force representing all stakeholders to revise and update its new transportation ordinance so that we may ensure the interests of all transportation providers understood and effectively addressed in a revised rule of the regulation. We have been on the news since Friday because Uber decided to change their policy, and we're still on strike. If we are allowed to have on-demand, black car on-demand adopted, along same with the taxis have, the taxi have the choice to be prearranged and on-demand. And that's the reason why we're here. That's what we're asking. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's
next
your final speaker.
Speaker.
That's your final speaker for the morning session.
Okay, it is 9:19. We will be on recess until 11. Thank you. And there will be no executive session, correct?
Yes. No.
Lunch for breakfast.
I believe we have a quorum. We will start the afternoon session. If everybody can have their seats, please. All council members. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. We will start now the meeting at 11:01 this morning. Thank you, everybody, for your patience and for coming back. Madam Secretary.
Okay.
We're going to begin with your consent zoning docket, which consisted of agenda items 70 through 73. Agenda item 71 was pulled for individual consideration by Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo. Item 72 pulled by Councilmember McGue. And item 73 is pulled as it requires a three-quarters vote. Therefore, your only item remaining on the consent zoning docket is agenda item 70. Number 70 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a microbrewery, microdistillery, or winery on property on the northwest corner of Canton Street and South Malcolm X Boulevard. Are there any speakers that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Medrano.
Move for approval.
There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The ayes have it. Next item.
Thank you. Agenda item number 71 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a planned development district for IR Industrial Research District and general merchandise for food store greater than 3,500 square feet uses on property at the south corner of Regal Row and John W. Carpenter Service Road.
Madam Mayor, we sent 21 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received one reply in favor and one reply in opposition. Require a simple majority to approve this.
Are there any speakers that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Any speakers in favor? We have an individual coming forward.
Good morning, council members. My name is Robert Miklos, 1800 Valley View Lane, Suite 360, Farmers Branch, Texas. I represent Quick Trip, who is the applicant in the zoning case. We have representatives of Quick Trip here. If you have any questions, I'm asking for approval of the request for a PD with IR uses. And the reason we were an individual is just we needed to make a few quick tweaks to the ordinance to meet the original intent and the plan. The planners are okay with those changes. We're okay with those changes. We have a good project at that location. It's just south of Carpenter Freeway. We hope to do more business in that area as well. So I'd ask for your approval and we'll stand by for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other speakers in favor? No further speakers, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Mr. Wilson.
I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by the City Plan Commission with the following change. Only industrial uses are permitted. Only industrial uses are prohibited.
There's a motion and a second. Any questions? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you. Next item.
Agenda item number 72 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a vehicle display sales and service on property on the northeast corner of Bonner Drive and North Central Expressway.
Madam Mayor, we sent 9 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the area of request. We received 1 reply in favor and no replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Mr. McGue.
I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by the City Planning Commission. With the following change, the specific use permit expires on September 22nd of 2018.
Second. There's a motion and a second. Any questions, concerns? Hearing none, all those signify by saying aye. In favor? And any opposed? The ayes have it. Next item.
Agenda item number 73 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a tattoo studio on property on the south line of Elm Street east of North Good Latimer Expressway.
Madam Mayor, we sent 20 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the area request. We received no replies in favor and 7 replies in opposition. Due to the opposition of owners of more than 20% of the land within 200 feet of the area request, a favorable vote of 3/4 of City Council is required to approve this.
Are there any individuals speaking in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Mr. Medrano.
I have some comments also afterwards. I move for approval.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Mr. Medina.
Yeah, and so this isn't just a regular tattoo studio. It's actually Oliver Peck, who has Ink Masters on Spike TV. He is going to be flying in artists to do work on folks that want these particular tattoo artists to do work on them. So it's going to have people. You can't just not walk up. You have to schedule an appointment. And it's also going to be retail in the front. Thank you.
Thank you. I need to ask a quick attorney question. Do we have I don't think so. We need to wait for two more. Wait. Okay. What? Can we wait a little? Can we? Do you mind if we postpone for a little bit? Okay. We'll come back to item number 73 in a minute. Okay.
Thank you.
Next item, 74.
Agenda item number 74 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a mini warehouse use on property on the north side of Banner Drive between Park Central Drive and Merritt Drive.
Madam Mayor, we sent five notices to property owners within 300 feet of the area of request. We received no replies in favor and no replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Mr. Kleiman.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by the City Plan Commission with the following changes. The SUP is approved for a 10-year time period, but is eligible for automatic renewal for two additional five-year periods, and the SUP is subject to the revised site plan and landscape plan distributed today at the City Council.
There's a motion and a second. Any questions? Discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The ayes have it. Next item.
Agenda item number 75 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to specific permit number 2048. For the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store, 100,000 square feet or more on property on the south line of East R.L. Thornton Freeway and west of South Buckner Boulevard.
Madam Mayor, we sent 67 notices to property owners within 400 feet of the area request. We received no replies in favor of the request and six replies in opposition. It requires a simple majority to approve this.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item?
Oh, simple. I thought you said super.
Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Madam Mayor.
Am I correct? It's a simple majority?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Medrano.
Yeah. Move for approval. The zoning change as recommended by the City Plan Commission.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The ayes have it. Next item.
Item number 76 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a planned development district for CR Community Retail District and D Duplex District uses on property on the northwest corner of West Mockingbird Lane and Roper Street.
Madam Mayor, we sent 95 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area request. We received 9 replies in favor and 1 reply in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Mr. Medrano.
Move for approval.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Yeah, this is going to be a 7-Eleven at the corner of Mockingbird and Roper. I know that you guys have known I've been having some issues with 7-Eleven downtown. They actually have stepped up and put security in the evenings for the downtown core. So I believe that if there's any issues at this one, that they will address them. Thank you.
Thank you. There's a motion and a second and no further discussion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it. We'll move this item forward. Let's go back to item 73. Ms. Rios.
Thank you. Again, item 73 was previously read into the record. Three quarters vote required.
Do we need another motion? A motion again?
Yeah, just the vote.
Okay, we don't need a motion. There is a motion and a second on item number 73. Any other discussion?
No.
If there's no discussion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The ayes have it. Let's move this item forward. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item, Ms. Rios.
Item the following statement applies to agenda items number 77 through 80. By making and seconding the motions the council members represent, they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable about the facts and the circumstances of the cases and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Therefore, agenda items 77 through 80 will require 2 seconds for approval. Agenda item number 77 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a CR community retail district and a resolution accepting deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant on property on the north line of Simpson Stewart Road west of Tracy Road.
Madam Mayor, we sent 19 notices to property owners within 200 feet of their request. We received 4 replies in favor and no replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Wilson.
I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by the City Plan Commission.
Two seconds. Thank you. Mr. Magoo and Mr. Callahan have seconded. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? And the ayes have it. Let's go to 78.
Agenda item 78 is a public hearing for a planned development district for LO1 uses and a mortuary, funeral home, or commercial wedding chapel use on property on the northeast line of Webb Chapel Road and on the west line of Larga Drive, east of Webb Chapel Extension.
Madam Mayor, we sent 65 notices to property owners within 500 feet of their request, received 2 replies in favor and 3 replies in opposition to the request. Due to the denial by the City Plan Commission and to the opposition of owners of more than 20% of the land within 200 feet of their request, a favorable vote of 3/4 of City Council would be required to approve this.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Madam Mayor. I'm sorry? Agenda item 78.
No speakers?
No speakers. 3/4 vote?
CPC recommended approval. They did.
Oh, I'm sorry. The CPC is recommending the denial without prejudice. Therefore, if we have any speakers that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation, which means that you are in favor of the project, you may come forward. Any speakers in favor? Thank you.
I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Wilson.
I move to remand this item to the CPC, back to the City Plan Commission.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Mayor. Mayor.
Yes, sir.
On what basis? I don't have an axe to grind here, but why would you want to remand it back?
I will answer that question because it's in District 6 and at the request of the applicants, because we have some more information that they want to provide. Thank you. There's a motion and a second, and no further discussion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it. Item number 79.
Agenda item number 79 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a WR5 walkable urban residential district with a height map overlay on property on the east corner of Hall Street and Munger Avenue.
Madam Mayor, we sent 42 notices to property owners within 300 feet of their request. We received 5 replies in favor and no replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor? We have 4 individual coming forward.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, Council. My name is Jonathan Benson, 901 Main Street, and I'll be very brief. Here representing Mill Creek Residential Trust, Rick Perdue with Mill Creek is with me today. They're very active in the Dallas area. This site is on the east side of Hall Street between Roseland and Munger, just east of downtown. It's mostly vacant. There's a little bit of obsolete retail along Hall Street. We're asking for a WR5 walkable residential 5 form-based designation. We've also agreed with staff to provide a height overlay map, which will actually reduce the allowable height on the Hall Street side by 10 feet. It also limits us on the interior side to 2 stories. It's kind of interesting because the MF2A now allows up to 36 feet, so we're trying to be very respectful of the area. We've met with Pilgrim Rest Missionary Baptist Church, longtime institution in the area. We've reached out to the Dallas Housing Authority to let them know of our plans. There's some other similar development going on in the area. I live in East Dallas myself, and I'm kind of excited about it because there's some upgraded retail that has shown up. It's starting to move east from downtown. There's a Kroger that's going in directly across the street. I think that's a good thing, good neighborhood serving retail, and this type of development will help support that. So no opposition from anybody. Staff recommendation of approval and CPC unanimous recommendation of approval. I respectfully ask for y'all to approve today. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No further speakers, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Kingston.
Move to approve the CPC recommendation subject to the revised height map overlay.
Second.
There's a motion and a second.
2 seconds,
please. Second.
Thank you.
There's a motion and 2 seconds. Any discussion? Mr. Kingston, did you want to say something? Are you going to? Thank you, sir. Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it. Item number 80.
On agenda item 80, there is no public hearing, as the public hearing was previously closed. And it is an ordinance granting a planned development district for certain CS commercial service district uses and a mini warehouse use, and a resolution granting the termination of deed restrictions on property on the north line of East University Boulevard, east of North Central Expressway. The item requires 2 seconds for approval.
Oh, no, no speakers.
Not a
That's correct.
Hearing.
I'm sorry. Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Move to hold this item until October 28th, 2015.
Second.
There's a motion and a second, and I wrote down October 28th, you said, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. There's a motion and a second. Discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you. Item number 81.
On 81 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting amendments to Chapters 51A. 51 and 51A of the Dallas Development Code to number 1, require a landscape buffer and establish maximum stacking heights for open storage and outside storage uses. Number 2, require screening for open storage and outside storage uses in the I-2, I-3, and I-M industrial manufacturing districts. Number 3, provide new screening regulations for the organic compost recycling facility use, petroleum product storage and wholesale use, and sand, gravel, or earth sales and storage use in IM industrial manufacturing districts. And number 4, require a specific use permit for outside storage as a main use in the CA1 and CA2 districts. Are there any individuals that would like to speak on the item? Any speakers? No speakers, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Grayson.
Thank you. Because some property owners of industrial properties still haven't had an opportunity to be fully informed about these proposed rule changes, I'm going to move to keep the public hearing open and hold this item under advisement until October 28, 2015.
Second.
There's a motion. There's a motion and 2 seconds?
Just one.
Oh, you need one? Okay. There's a motion and a second. Discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it.
Sorry.
Oh, one. Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, who was the
one name? Against? Thank you. The ayes have it. Item number 82.
I'm sorry, Madam Mayor. Who was the no?
Ms.
Callahan. I appreciate it. Thank you. Agenda item number 82 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting amendments to Chapters 51 and 51A, Dallas Development Code, Divisions 51-4.500 and 51A-4.500 to create a historic building demolition delay overlay. We do have one registered speaker, after which other individuals will be called. David Preziosi. Please state your name and address for the record. Stay to the topic as well as address your comments to Mayor Alonzo.
David Preziosi, 2922 Swiss Avenue, representing Preservation Dallas. I'm here today to support the passage of the demolition delay ordinance. This ordinance will not prevent demolition of unprotected historic buildings. However, it will give people a chance to be notified when such demolition applications and allow for a chance to weigh in on the demolition. This was a problem a year ago when historic buildings between Main and Elm Street came down without warning or notice to the public. This ordinance tries to address that problem and gives the city staff, Preservation Dallas, and others the chance to work with property owners on alternatives to demolition before it is approved. This ordinance is recommended by the Downtown Historic Preservation Task Force as part of their 9 recommendations. It also has been vetted through city staff, the Landmark Commission, and the City Plan Commission, all in favor of the ordinance as well. So we hope that today that you will approve the ordinance and help give review for historic buildings before demolition can occur. Thank you.
Are there any other individuals that would like to speak on the item? No further speakers, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Clement.
Or I don't know.
I'll move approval. Oh.
Second.
Okay. Motion in 2 seconds. I apologize, Mr. Clement. For discussion, Mr. Clement.
Thank you. I have some questions for staff, please. Yes, sir. What is the objective of having a delay? What's the state of objective?
The objective really is to provide an opportunity to inform people that are potentially eligible for historic designation to avail themselves of all the incentives that could be utilized if they choose to keep the structure. Really, it's an effort to from a cultural perspective, to keep some of our cultural assets and heritage intact, at least give the applicant an opportunity to understand any benefits that might come from designating that building.
And has staff studied what's happened with demolition delays in other cities?
We did talk about it with the other cities that we talked to, particularly in Texas and Fort Worth and Austin and San Antonio and Plano, that, you know, they don't always result in saving buildings, but from another hand, I can point to a couple of examples here locally where originally buildings were intended to be torn down, but they chose to save
but
them.
We didn't have a
but typically, we did not identify anywhere where it resulted in a preservation of a building as a result of this particular.
Staff has not been able to identify where demolition delay has preserved any building.
In the cities we spoke to, that's
right.
Correct.
So why do we put forth ordinances that don't work?
Well, and this was an ordinance that we were instructed to put together based on the Downtown Preservation Task Force recommendations to City Council, and then City Council's recommendation or direction to staff to go ahead and put this together and for full council consideration.
Right. But do you feel that this ordinance will be more effective in Dallas than it'll be in any of the other subject cities you spoke to?
I don't know that I really have a feeling. My hope is it may, but I certainly have no evidence of that.
Okay, so my point is, as much as I like historic buildings as anyone else, I don't like ineffective ordinances that do no good. And we're in the process of trying to get to par down 900 ordinances in code compliance alone, and I just don't see any reason for putting forth an ordinance that has not proven to be effective in any other city, and I'll be voting against it.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You.
Thank you, Mr. Clement. Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This ordinance is really marks a kind of a sea change in the consensus opinion around Dallas. For a very long time, this city has been a tear it down and build it new type city. And our cultural patrimony as reflected in our architecture has suffered because of it. We are missing buildings that we really only have illustrations of now that were torn down for reasons that of really very temporary economic expediency that could have served all of us so well. You know, land use is always about balancing the interests of the landowner with the interests of the community, and historic buildings have a value that is far beyond the appraised value of the dirt and the structure that's sitting there. Imagine Dallas without Old Red. If you were to value that building, it might appraise for a couple million bucks. I mean, it's historically protected. It's, you know, it can't really be readapted for a lot of uses. It's not on a large parcel. But imagine what we would lose if it weren't there. And that's the point of historic preservation. I think we saw it in the debate over the Braniff building that was originally slated to be demolished. You're seeing the city awaken to the need for historic preservation. I had a conversation this last weekend with one of the architects of the Meddlesome Moth that has the preserved stained glasses, thanks to Shannon Wynn's effort, from the old Hard Rock site. There's nothing very historic about those windows, but the building the Hard Rock was in was a historic church structure. And we were both commenting how just a few years ago, that building was razed with barely a mention. Only some of the most hardcore preservationists said anything about it, and I'm not even sure that there was much comment on it in local media. And our minds are changing about this. We're starting to see the value of preserving structures like these. Real cities do this. I recently came back from Los Angeles, a city that could not have a worse reputation for preserving its history and its architecture. You know, there's a famous Steve Martin joke about LA that, you know, they have many historic buildings, some as old as 40 years. And they have really turned a corner, similar to Dallas, where they have started to preserve and reuse their really classic Art Deco buildings downtown. There's a revival there. I encourage you. It's similar to what's happening in Dallas, just on a larger scale. I would encourage everybody to go see that. I also just have to thank some people for this piece of legislation. Mayor Rawlings immediately saw the need for this type of protection and worked with me and with Catherine Seal toward appointing a preservation task force that was made up not just of, you know, crazy East Dallas preservationists, but also real developers who have to make money in this market and who signed off on the idea that this would not prevent them from operating their businesses in a way that would return value to their investors. And that's the balance that I think that we're trying to strike here. So I'm really excited about that. Catherine Seale did a fantastic job shepherding the Preservation Task Force. I really appreciate David Preciosi being here today. And I want to thank also the members of the task force who brought together a wealth of knowledge, not just from preservation, but also from neighborhood activism and really the real estate development community. I don't think that we could have, this is one of those feel-good ones, I think, where we realized a problem. Before it got out of hand, we took common sense steps that involved input from all of the stakeholders in order to reach an outcome that I think will make us proud and really will make our children and our grandchildren proud when they, you know, have these architectural treasures left to them. So I strongly encourage you all to support this ordinance. This isn't my ordinance. This is an ordinance that came from the people whose voices you really want to hear when you're talking about how do we treat our architectural heritage. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Arnold.
Yes, I want to follow up with the support of this particular proposal here with the hearing and also this building demolition delay overlay. And Mr. Kingston pretty much summarized my feelings, but I am extremely excited about this particular group. Alicia Quintons, I know she's part of that group and part of District 4, but I just met Mrs. Seal and Mr. P. I'm happy that you're here today. I believe that long term, what we don't understand, we tend to fear. And it is very important that we embrace our history. And for some people, I think when we have some of these projects, for those individuals who have preceded us or who, in terms of making the determination as to what will be raised, if they chose at that particular time not to appreciate and the value of those buildings, and then communities suffer as a result. Case in point, I'm working with the historic 10th Street District, and part of that community's history is the Freedman's Town, and they're trying to preserve that district. And I can't tell you the sadness in my heart to see or to hear the stories about some of those structures that have been demolished. And so I am extremely excited about the opportunity to speak on behalf of that community. They are happy to have the preservation group working with us in District 4. And I think because of the efforts of this particular task force, Dallas will continue to celebrate its history through this story here in this district. And I think as we pass this on down to the children who come after us, and I tend to reflect on what my pastor says, touching tomorrow today, they can appreciate the work of this particular group. So I hope that you will find in your heart to support the future of Dallas by supporting this amendment and giving wholeheartedly support to the task force, because I believe in every district we have some historical values and some remnants and some history that a culture in that community would like for us to protect. And so I can't tell you enough how much I appreciate and I embrace the opportunity to work with preservation. This preservation group. So thank you again for being here, and please find it in your heart. If you don't care about it, speak for those who cannot speak for themselves. And that tends to be our constituents, and also I want to underscore the children of our great city. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I wanted to express my support for this ordinance. I know it came out of a lot of effort by this task force. I think Ms. Arnold and Mr. Kingston both have spoken to the work of this task force, and I think it's important to realize they came out with a series of recommendations that are all interrelated and that all should be valued. We have to pass them individually, but as a whole, they're stronger than just picking out one or a few to try to implement. I know we've implemented in the budget the two planners that we put on board to help with preservation, and this is another component. So I encourage you not only to support this initiative, but the ones we will see going forward. They phased them out over time because they do have some economic impact, but it's also really important to understand that this was a task force made up of not just preservationists, but developers. It was very comprehensively looked at. And this particular 30-day delay was actually one of the ones that developers were most supportive of, because they wanted to, one, create that pause so they would even understand if there was opposition to the building that they had plans for, because their reputation is affected by it afterwards. So they didn't oppose this, and they actually thought this was going to be give them a better understanding of what the public perception was about buildings. And I think it also gives, as Mr. Costa mentioned, them an opportunity to understand what might be out there, incentives or other things they can take advantage of to be able to preserve the building. So I'm very supportive of this. I thank Ms. Seal and our entire task force for all their work. They did a really good job, and I think we should really look at when those recommendations are brought forward, look at them and understand all the work that got to the point before it got to our council. And on a personal note, I do think I was at a wedding at the Magnolia Hotel with a bunch of out-of-town people, and one of those moments where it was like kind of an aha moment about preservation. I couldn't believe how many people from out of town commented on what a beautiful building and how lucky we were in Dallas to have those beautiful buildings. And that is, a lot of people put a lot of effort, and it's not just those that preserve the buildings, but it's those of us that create the policies so that those buildings can be preserved, that make that happen. And I do think we're doing a better job about doing that in Dallas, and I hope we continue to. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor, and I totally echo what has already been stated. The comments were very poignant, and history matters, culture matters, and just think of places like Charleston, South Carolina, those beautiful homes are right there on the sea, and just think of in New Orleans, even though after the flood, so many of those buildings in the French Quarter have been maintained, and even locally, you know, San Antonio, where some of us would be headed out today, you know, look at the beautiful buildings, you know, downtown of San Antonio, the integrity of the architecture. Fort Worth has done, I've commented on them before, they've done such a great job, a better job than Dallas. I can remember as a kid just watching so many of these great buildings, you know, the Baker Hotel and the Palace Theater, and our Theater Row, as we knew it, is gone except the Majestic Theater. And I think picking out Old Red, Mr. Kingston, that was a great idea. That is exactly what was going through my mind. Imagine Dallas without Old Red. And, you know, we've, history, you can't rebuild what you tear down, and that's who we are. The great cities of America have always maintained their buildings, and I think that we need to do the same thing. And thanks very much for the, you know, preservation groups of what they are doing. And I really appreciate going forward that we can just have kind of a slow down, a little time out, if you will. But thanks for your efforts, you know, David, and the group that you've been working with. And let's keep our history, keep our buildings. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Hearing none, there's a motion in 2 seconds, I believe.
Yes.
Motion 2 seconds. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
We have one opposed. You can make a note of that. And the ayes have it. Item 83.
Agenda item number 83 is a public hearing on the proposed use of subsurface portions of Crockett Park, Fair Park, and Juanita J. Craft Park, totaling approximately 430,503 square feet, 9.88 acres, for the Mill Creek Peace Branch State Thomas Drainage Relief Tunnel Project. Are there any individuals that would like to speak on the item? Any speakers? No speakers, Madam Mayor.
I'll entertain a motion. Mr. Medrano.
Move for approval.
Thank you.
We have 1 second.
That's all.
That's all you need? Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, there's a motion and a second discussion. Mr. Medrano, do you want to say something? Okay. Hearing none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? And the ayes have it. Item 84.
Number 84 is a public hearing on the proposed sale of 6 unimproved properties acquired by the taxing authorities from the Sheriff to Dallas Neighborhood Alliance for Habitat, Inc. And at the close of the public hearing, authorize the city manager to, number one, convey by deed without warranty 6 unimproved properties to Dallas Neighborhood Alliance for Habitat, Inc. And number two, release the city's non-tax liens included in the foreclosure judgment and post-judgment non-tax liens, if any. Are there any individuals that would like to speak on the item? No speakers, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Arnold.
It's your question.
Item number 84, would you like to make a motion? It's on 4 and 6 areas.
No, I see that. No, I don't.
There's a motion and a second. Does it need 2 seconds?
Second? Just one.
I'll second.
Well, you made the motion.
Okay, well, sir.
There's one motion in 2 seconds.
Gotcha.
Discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The ayes have it. Item 85.
Number 85 is a public hearing on an application for and a resolution granting a variance to the alcohol spacing requirements from a public school, Henry W. Longfellow Career Exploration Academy, to allow a wine and beer retailer's off-premise permit for a general merchandise or food store with 10,000 square feet or more floor area, LNB Deb Inwood Village, DBA CVS Pharmacy number 7412, on the southeast corner of West Lovers Lane and Inwood Road, north of Boaz Street. Are there any individuals that would like to speak on the item? Sir, if you please come forward, state your name and address for the record, as well as state to the topic.
Richard Sheridan, 11301 Dennis Road, Dallas, Texas. I'm against granting this variance until we revise the associated ordinance. It's not a major revision either. Just looking at the big picture, Texas and Dallas is in an epidemic when it comes to alcoholism. And I believe the Hispanic community, they're the ones that are majorly sick from alcoholism. It is a sickness. Texas is number one in the nation in DWIs, DWI deaths, with about 1,400 annually, and 40% of all traffic deaths are from DWIs. There are 16,000 alcohol-related accidents, and it's a $6.2 billion cost to taxpayers in Texas. A person with an alcoholic parent or sibling, they are 3 to 4 times more likely to become an alcoholic. I was once one of these people. My father was an abusive alcoholic. He drank to drown his pain. I drank to help to ease my pain. Many of our homeless are alcoholics to ease their pain. Many of our homeless veterans are alcoholics. So here we have another of many requests to put an alcohol-related store closer to a school than the distance requirements back in the day that the Dallas City Council passed an ordinance for, recognizing then that we need to keep alcohol retail establishments as far away from schools as reasonable. So I've spoken this many times, and my recommendations have virtually fallen on deaf ears, but what I've been recommending, and it's, we're not talking about a lot of money. As part of granting us the space variance, the City Council should require that the applicant conduct an alcohol awareness event at the adjacent school. Again, we're not talking about a lot of money, maybe $1,000, plus or minus. And I've spoken to applicant lobbyists, and they said, this is not a big deal. This can be done. It will save lives. If a child brings literature to the home, particularly if they know their mother and father is an alcoholic, if the child brings information about a breathalyzer, which you can get at CVS or other drugstores for $60, $70. If one life is saved at each school, we have an alcohol awareness event, it's worth it. You may not do it now, but hopefully you'll eventually add this to the ordinance. Thank you very much.
Are there any other speakers on the item? No further speakers, Madam Mayor, and it does require 2 seconds as it is an alcohol variance.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Gates.
I make the motion to leave the public hearing open and hear this on October 28th.
Second.
There's only 1 second needed for deferring it, right?
Yes.
There's. Okay, any discussion? Ms. Gates, did you want to follow up, or Ms. Arnold?
Yeah, excuse me, I do want to follow up. I think we need to reflect on how, once again, we do business in Dallas. We continue to talk about the vision as we move forward to have a great city. We have some discussions now on Neighborhood Plus and neighborhood vitality and all of those things. And we talk about business opportunities that we want to see growing south. But once again, we forget about the very type of behavior that we're being asked to participate here with this particular application. We should not support alcoholic institutions near our schools. If we are going to improve the opportunities for our future, we need to start today. My belief is that a drugstore is there for the purpose of serving promoting health. This is not a healthy choice for our communities. And so I would hope that we would begin to look at the support of our schools. This is a public school. This is a DISD school. And when we run our public schools down, then we turn around and talk about schools of choice. So we need to make up our minds today just how much we're going to advocate for the future of our students and our communities. And we have got to stop allowing these businesses to come back in here with behaviors that destroy our communities. And so I want to underscore my grave concern, and I've seen a couple of these stores who've gone in to ask for these zoning changes, and we buy into it. Once again, the manner in which we even propose the zoning does not alert enough people so that they can rally behind the future of our city, which is our children. And so I want us to also look at the way we advertise and inform our community, because there's no way, no reason that we should support an alcoholic institution, and that's what it becomes, near our precious children. Our future is in our children and it's in our schools. So I want to tell you right now, I will not support ever any institution that sets forth a goal to provide an alcoholic beverage or an opportunity for our children or anyone else who can bring harm to our community. So I thank you very much for your comments, and I hope that we will take consideration before we support any institution to destroy our future. Thank you so very much, Mrs. Mayor.
Thank you. There's any further discussion? None. Hearing none, there is a motion and 2 seconds, or a motion and a second, because we're going to defer it. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, one opposed.
Thank you.
And the ayes have it.
Madam Mayor, that concludes your agenda items. Remaining are just the one speaker this afternoon, and that is LaCoya London. Ms. London, if you'll please come forward. You are allowed 2 minutes to speak. You'll notice the timer at the podium. And address your comments to Mayor Alonzo. Thank you.
Hello.
Hello, LaCoya London, 1411 North Cockrell Hill Road. Okay, I'm here today because we wrote a letter to Mr. Chief Brown, and it's concerning the court case we had in the juvenile court. I sat in the juvenile court and watched them practically tear the lives out of most of these kids. I mean, over crazy stuff. Now, I can understand the ones that's driving underage, because most of them, that's what was there. But, you know, I came here, like, in June, talking about that ticket that Officer Reynolds had wrote. He wrote this ticket talking about some ice. He almost committed perjury. I saved his life, really, and his job. Because when I got there, the prosecutor said that she ripped up a cup. So I asked the lady, would she like to let him recant his statement, because I have something stating that he said something else. So what he did do, they dismissed the case. But my point is, don't lie on our children. Come on now, be honest. She poured ice on the ground. Just say she poured ice on the ground. You was dumb enough to write a ticket for pouring ice on the ground. So he nearly committed perjury, because I think y'all need to know that's if you tell a lie under oath, that's perjury. He could go to jail. You're not going to pass go. You're going to jail. So I'm glad he recanted his statement, but I need Chief Brown to understand, look what he got on the street. This man is walking around West Dallas giving these kids tickets, and, I mean, do it if they're doing something really wrong. ICE. I mean, and I have a problem with that, because the day before, he was with Ms. Cortez with DISD. Like I said, I leave Dallas, Texas. If y'all pay me for breaking that hand, I will leave Dallas, Texas and never come back. But DISD have to pay for hurting her in 2012. Now I'm waiting on the Justice Department to do their part. And I did send that paper to the Justice Department to show them that DISD and DPD is working together. They're working together. You know, they got to be working together. Because he was talking to her the day before, and they was talking about how much of a bastard I was. And I am. I can be whatever they want me to be, I will be. Because I'm going to come into that school every 5 minutes when something is wrong. You're not going to throw them kids against against them walls when I'm in that building either. Because I'm going to call Chief Miller. Whenever I see them doing something wrong to them kids, I'm going to call him, and I'm going to say, hey, pull the camera. Look what he just did. I'm going to do that. Because you're not going to harm our kids like they're doing. They are physically harming our kids. And she spoke about it at a board meeting, then she was hurt the next day by, guess what, the DISD police officer, Bruno. And he hadn't paid yet. And yes, he's going to pay. He's going to pay. Because the Justice Department has my back. And we're not even finna play no games with y'all. But when you go to court, please make sure your guys, Chief Miller, tell the truth.
No further speakers.
Thank you. Mr. Magoo.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor and colleagues. I just want to let you know that during the break, I was able to attend the funeral of my predecessor and former Councilmember Jerry Allen's father. He passed over this weekend. Phil R. Allen was a great man, born February 10th, 1926, and died September 19th, 2015. Just ask you to keep the family in your thoughts and prayers. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Yeah, our prayers are with them. Thank you, Mr. Magoo. And colleagues and anyone that's listening, especially our employees, this is there at the lobby. There is the 4th Annual Voter Registration Day event. And so if they haven't registered to vote, now is the time. They will be there till 3 p.m. So I wanted to make sure we share that with everybody. And with that, meeting adjourned at 11:52 a.m.